Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? I got a shocker toy, no escape from reality.
Okay, my turn. Test. 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 Test.
Begin juggling test in 3, 2, 1.
Okay. Oh,
I'm so happy that works.
Speaking of forcing their way to the front.
Huh?
Nani.
I already forgot the context of that.
The intro? Trying to get on the intro to the podcast?
Yeah. Oh, look, check it out. Boom. Stop recording.
No!
Bang. Delete.
Oh, no.
Boom. New recording.
Everything's going to hell.
But he already has his sync track recording, I assume. So.
Possibly, yeah.
See?
Oh, okay.
I know how this thing works.
I'm going to get us going here. Counting down.
You already got me going.
This cat loves lasagna so much that he eats
5. Four. Three. Two. One.
It's furious.
Hello, everyone. This is Vangelis here with WTF at TFW, a professional podcast run by professional people. We are here with episode 169. That's 69 next to a wall. And it's October 12th. It's the eve before New York Comic Con. And tomorrow night, I go to New York Comic Con. And myself and several others who I'm meeting up with there are all already regretting that we decided to not go on Thursday and all go on Friday. Kind of a bummer. But that aside, I'm here with Gog Dog.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey there.
We're also here with Seth Buzzard.
Hello. It is good to be conducting business with you in a business-like fashion. Please accept my business card.
Thank you. Domo arigato gozaimashita. This business card will go into my business card holder.
That is good, because it would be wasteful to throw it away.
Yes. We are here today to talk to you, ladies and gentlemen, about Transformers, and we're going to start off this Transformers podcast by talking about Transformers. Surprise to some, I know. We got some news yesterday about New York Comic Con that all of a sudden made New York Comic Con jump from being like, oh yeah, it sounds like a fun show, I hope you guys have fun at it, to, hey, yo, you guys, can you just, okay, just for one sec, guys, just this one favor for me, if you could just do this, could you just, okay, just one favor for me, guys, could you just pick up that exclusive Transformers Prime 2-pack, please, thank you. We got news that Hasbro's going to have a Transformers Prime exclusive at New York Comic Con in exclusive packaging, much like they did at San Diego Comic Con, except that this one is actually more of an exclusive. This is going to be Deluxe Bumblebee and Deluxe RC from Transformers Prime with the Raph and Jack from the Entertainment 3-pack, all done up in new decos in a New York-themed box. Jack and Raph are going to have New York-themed t-shirts. Bumblebee is going to be done up like a New York taxi cab, which is an interesting workaround to make sure he remains yellow, as with all Bumblebee variants of 2011. And RC is going to be done up in her G1 colors, which looks pretty cool, but it also kind of... knowing this character looks completely out of character. I certainly still intend to get these as soon as I can, but I think it is kind of neat that, you know, seeing her in pink and white, I do kind of prefer the blue. Gog, fellow Primetimer, how do you feel about this unveiling?
Well, I had first seen this picture when my friend Quinn Jester had aimed me the photo, I think on my lunch break, just... probably right about the time that the news hit, and I'm just like, what the hell is that? Like, I mean, I guess repaints of this were destined to happen at some point or another. I mean, that's how the molds work. But I was like, oh, it's a little early for us to be seeing a pink repaint, I guess. But I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I like RC, and there's probably not going to be a lot of RC toys other than the Deluxe and the Cyberverse right off the bat. So, yeah, I mean, I can see myself getting it just because it's RC, and then I learned within the next 3 minutes that it was a New York Comic Con exclusive, and then my interest kind of suddenly went up, because I'm like, oh, this isn't just going to be some weird repaint that's warming the pegs. This is going to be a con exclusive. So, like, yeah, I'm not... And these are the photoshopped versions, or the hand-painted sample, whatever you want to call them. They look photoshopped, but... Yeah, I'm wondering how this is going to look in person, because right now it doesn't look all that great, but the fact that it's a ridiculous convention exclusive makes me really want to have this.
And it's also two Prime toys that nobody has gotten their hands on yet, which is adding to its immediate desirability.
Exactly, yeah. It's and I mean, Hasbro now is kind of setting the precedent for releasing molds at conventions in odd convention exclusive versions, so and making those the first release of those figures, which is that's kind of cool because it adds more incentive of people wanting to get their hands on them. But the Bumblebee, actually, I actually like it. A lot of people have given this figure a lot of flack just because it's a yellow and black Bumblebee repaint, and I can understand people wanting maybe a little bit more from a Bumblebee repaint other than just finding other ways to do it in yellow and black. But the whole New York cab theme, I think, is pretty genius. I like it.
If you're going to do a yellow and black Bumblebee as a redeco, a New York taxi cab is one of the few ways to do it that doesn't feel like, guys, come on, we know he's Bumblebee.
Well,
like
especially if it's for New York Comic Con.
Yeah, right.
It makes perfect sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. Doi. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. So this set is really, really cool in kind of a fun, ridiculous sort of way.
Yeah, and I'm curious how it's gonna, like, I mean, we all kind of can joke about how the San Diego Prime ended up totally not being the sellout event that everyone kind of anticipated at first, but we also can cite several reasons why. I got a feeling this one might actually do pretty well, but to Seth, how are you feeling about this?
Could you pick one up for me?
Okay, I guess. I mean, no one else has asked me so far, so.
I'm only paying the original price, nothing more or less, or nothing more, maybe less. But
and
I'm also gonna need you to cover shipping. I'm not gonna pay for shipping.
I guess if that's what I have to do to make sure I'm the one who gets it to you.
Right, and if you ask for any more money, you're a scalper.
But I could kind of use a little bit more.
You're a scalper.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we just talked about Bumblebee. Bumblebee's great. Makes a lot of sense. The only one that doesn't really have anything New York-y about them is RC.
Mm-hmm.
Besides just going, all right, here's your pink RC that y'all cried about because RC's going to be pink, then that's it. But, like, everybody else is New York-ish, except for RC. But I don't really know what you could do with a motorcycle to make it New York. I mean, unless you tampoed, like, the Big Apple on her or something.
That's kind of what I hit when I was looking at it. I was like, it seemed like an obvious thing to do because it's like clearly they want to have a two pack. They want to have a two pack. They want to have the kids. They can't put a bulkhead in there because that's a Voyager. So you take those two, and what's an obvious way to repaint RC that has like nothing to do with the show is the G1 colors, because that is not who this RC is.
I'm almost kind of grateful that they did that, because I'd much rather this be... them releasing this pink, kind of atrocious-looking, potentially, RC as a convention exclusive actually makes people want to go out and get it. If this had seen a mass retail release, I have a feeling this would probably be somewhat of a peg warmer. I mean, who knows? I mean, people might eat up the pink and white Prime RC, but I have a feeling that I'd... From my perspective, I'd rather see this being sold this way than a mass release, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, let me be clear. I actually dig the pink RC just conceptually, and you know, I like the color pink, but I do agree. I
bet you do.
I think that if this thing was mass retail, it would have been a hit for about a month. And then when everyone who really wanted it got it, it would kind of just chill out on shelves because it's a pink motorcycle. And
yeah, I mean, it doesn't really impress me that much. I mean, with the white, it's just there's no kind of contrast, the white and the pink. They're just too close in my eye.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Maybe if she was black and pink and looked awesome. But then it wouldn't be as G1-ish, I suppose.
Gotta have the G1-itude.
Maybe the inspiration is she's gum stuck to the sidewalk.
Gum RC.
Hey, she looks like bubblegum. Forget about it.
Oh, man. I love our New York listenership.
Paint her like white with Yankee pinstripes. That would have made her more New York.
I don't know enough about New York to know whether or not that's making fun of their team or supporting their team.
Well, that's what their uniform is.
Oh, okay. New York Yankees wear okay. I see.
I said pinstripes, not prison stripes. which would have made it Rikers Island Edition RC, which also would have been good. That would have been awesome if they made her Riker Island themed. So, like, she was prison jumpsuit colors and came with a shiv.
Well, she's got giant shivs attached to her arms. It kind of works.
Well, yeah. There you go. Stabbed in the shower edition RC.
But then you would have had to make the soles of her feet red with blood.
Okay. All sold. Let's do this.
Coming next TFW Con, we got our Shiv Edition RC for all you pre-registrants. So yeah, this thing is probably going to be one of the most highly sought after items at the New York Comic Con, which certainly means I guess it will be tremendously easy for me to get a hold of one for each and every single one of you. All of you, every single one who's asking.
Before we change the subject, can you get me one too?
Well, the thing is, I mean, someone already asked before, but I guess if you take them out of the equation, then
just think about it.
No,
I don't. Yeah. Anyway, New York Comic Con, we'll have some coverage of that. I'm going to try to record at least one or two WTF-related things there as well, and see how that goes. Moving along, we have a special request topic. Special request from longtime listener to the podcast, Jeremy Goggin, who asks, quote, can we talk about the Minerva CM's Corp figure? To which I totally said, yes. So, This Minerva thing kind of appeared, and I was like, yeah, look, they're doing a Minerva figure. I guess that's neat. You know, it's CM's Corp. I'm always a little bit wary, but it's not a transforming robot, so I'm like, that could go pretty well. And then all of a sudden, we get this revelation that, yo, guess what? Her backpack transforms into her face. So this thing might be pushing it a little bit farther than one might expect. Gog, I hand this over to you because you're the one who pushed for this.
Well, this was first announced alongside of a Jinrai, both characters from Master Force, at Wonderfest Summer earlier this year in Japan, Japanese Toy Convention, as we've talked about. And we always saw with silhouettes and that they were going to be released in the, however you pronounce it, Gutu Guru.
Gutu Guru.
Yeah. So, I was like, okay, that's interesting. Really didn't know that much about the line, other than the fact that, I can't remember, it was immediately before or after this that they had announced that they were also doing a Noriko Takaya from Gunbuster, which obviously perked my interest up, because that's the first, as far as I know, it's the first ever, at least mass-released Noriko figure that's being made. So it's like, okay, there's a couple of figures here that have piqued my interest. Let's see how they turn out. So, couple weeks ago or around that, we got our first, or maybe it was just last week, we got our first pictures of the gray prototype. And it's like, okay, yeah, I had forgotten that they had said that they were going to be in their power suits, their versus just like her school uniform or whatever. So it's like, oh, I like it. You know, a couple of the faces look a little goofy, but a couple of them I thought looked really good. And we got pictures, I think it was just earlier today, of an update on the release, because when they had first shown those gray pictures, they said that there was going to be a backpack gimmick that would be revealed later. So earlier today, we see pictures of her backpack. She has her hair detached, because normally when you can't see the most of the backpack because her hair is kind of has a piece that's that goes over it and is static and covers it up and doesn't move, apparently. So we got pictures today of her hair removed, so you can clearly see the backpack piece. And on her backpack, which if you've if you were familiar with Headmasters, or have if you've watched Master Force and seen the Headmaster Juniors, they have a big Robo face on the back. On the toy, it's very apparent because it's just a giant upside down Transformer face. And I think in the animation, they have it so that the face is kind of obscured through slight transformation or whatever. So the face on her backpack actually transforms. The face slides out to reveal more than just the chin, because when it's folded up, all you can really see is the chin sticking out. It extends so you can see the entire face, and then a little part that it helps obscure it slides up into the brow, fully revealing the upside-down robot face on her backpack. Now, this is really interesting because, as I said, in, when she's normally has all her parts on, her hair, which doesn't move, is covering up this robot face. So why would you give a headmaster in her human mode a transforming face that is obscured? And from the looks of the pictures, it almost looks as if the face of this can detach from her body. So I'm not, it looks, and it looks like this is done purposefully. It may just be to show off the gimmick. But, I mean, my theory at this point is she definitely has to come with her helmet chair, because the headmaster junior, and I'm not that familiar with, I don't have many headmasters, so I don't know how many of them actually did it. Nightbeat did it because he shares the same mold as Minerva, but I know all the headmaster juniors from Master Force, and any repaints thereof, the figure would sit inside the helmet of the figure, like a seat in the car, and then when you took the headmaster out, you took the chair, you folded them up into their little face mode, and then you plugged them into the chair, which became the entire helmeted head for the robot body. So there, she has to come with something. I can't see how she would possibly curl up into an in-scale head based on the way her joints look, unless she has some weird double joints that allow her to do it just for that gimmick. But at the very least, I can see her coming with a helmet that maybe she could sit in, and then having it kind of parts form transform, as in just removing her backpack, transforming the face and plugging it in, and now you have this kind of weird headmaster head that sits by itself. I don't know, but I cannot see any other way of this playing out, because why you wouldn't give her a transforming face on her backpack that does that much stuff when she's just a standalone action figure. You would just give her the anime style of when things transform and they're in a different mode, it just kind of looks like vague representations of what they are in their other mode.
Like, to go this far to engineer something in is peaking. It definitely piqued my interest, especially because it is CM's Corp. And as much as I tend to criticize a lot of their toys they make that actually transform, they also, they do know how to make transforming toys. So, it is interesting. Seth, what's your take on this Minerva?
Well, I mean, just looking at how big the face is on her back, I mean, just the size of the figure, there's no way you could fold her up to be the rest of the head the way the original Headmaster toys do.
Right.
Just because of, she's not shaped like a blocky robot like the toys were. So, yeah, I mean, maybe she comes with more parts like Gog was theorizing that could make the whole head, but what do you really need the whole head for? And now are they doing the other characters?
Well, here's the part that's kind of strange. They've also announced that they're doing a Jinrai who's from the same series, except for most Americans know him as the Power Master with Power Master Prime, which means he turns into an engine block. So whether this is just something they're doing kind of goofy and having a little bit of fun with Minerva, and it's not, and Jinrai is just going to be a standalone dude that doesn't do something like this, is completely up for speculation because they haven't shown anything from him at all yet. But I could see if maybe they were doing all three of the headmaster juniors with Shuda and Cab. But the fact that they're doing Minerva and then Jinrai, who have completely different modes, they're both masters, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they could be having the backpack transform in case they do the other characters. Because I'm assuming they don't have big, long ponytails that would cover the backpack. So maybe they're just planning ahead for the future. Unless there's a gimmick that associated with it we haven't seen yet. But, you know, why not make it transform? Because it looks like it does come off. Because that picture of the face by itself, there's a front and back shot, and there's all kinds of sculpted detail on the back of the face.
I know. So at the very least, the face detaches. But that on, I don't know. I have a feeling that there's going to be more to this that we haven't seen yet. But
more than meets the eye, perhaps.
No. Even more than meets the
eye. Much more?
The sequel.
There's more seen
much more
here.
Than even more than meets the eye.
Even more so than meets your eyes.
There's more to be seen here than ever was seen by eyes before.
Yes.
Even more.
One thing that's cool, though, is a lot of people, myself included, when they first saw her hair, because her hair basically is kind of molded so that it goes in against her backpack and doesn't move. And like, when I first saw that, my first thought is, oh, wow, she has no head articulation. But what's awesome is, if you look closely, it shows other pictures of her, because she has basically two different head styles that you can use. One is without her helmet, so that she just has hair. And then the other of, she wears her helmeted head with her translucent visor, which they said that's going to be translucent. So, but it looks like she has like an upper set of hair that's attached to the head proper, which looks like that's probably going to be on a ball joint, or at least a swivel, that's separate from the hair down her back. So even with that long hair, they've kind of sculpted it in two different parts, so her head will still be able to move. And even if the hair part doesn't have the best articulation, if you look at the one where she's wearing her helmet, that looks like that's actually going to look pretty cool. And the upper head is going to move independently, where the hair is sculpted so that it looks like no matter where her head is arranged, it looks like the hair coming down her back is just flowing out the bottom of her helmet. So at the very least, they're putting a lot of care into this figure, and I don't know. It just seems like this weird little somebody's fan project that they're putting some care into, because from what I've heard about other figures from this line, it's really hit or miss, and it just seems like with this, from the other stuff that I've seen, there somebody just seems to be really going the extra mile with this. But I don't know. I'm really interested to see what's going on with that face gimmick, because there's absolutely no reason for this figure to have that. And when I saw that today, I just stared at it for a very long time, trying to figure out what the hell is going on with this Minerva, and why does she have a transforming face on her back that you normally couldn't see? There's gonna be something with this.
I'm excited to see
what kind of scale. What kind of scale is this expecting to be? Would it be like a Farline / Figma?
Eight? No, they're big. Kind of size. They're bigger than Figma. I believe they're 1/8 scale.
Oh, 1/8
or 1/7. So they're either 1/7 or 1/8.
That's pretty tall. Like compared to what I'm used to seeing.
I think it's 1/8. That's what I was told. I've never owned one, but they're much taller than like Figma Reveltech size from what I've told, but they're not like straight up 1/6 scale.
Yeah, I lose a little interest in that. Just if it was 1/6 scale, I would be way more interested. I mean, I'm curious, and price will be the final decider, but
it's going to be expensive.
Yeah,
it's going to be over $100.
All right. Well, let us know how it is. It looks promising, though. I mean, I think the sculpt looks pretty good. But yeah, if it was in scale with other things I had, I would be more interested.
I'm looking forward to seeing how it turns out.
That's one of the things. Yeah, like that's one of the things I don't. That kind of bummed me out about the PlayArts Kai figures is they're a weird scale. But
yeah.
What can you do, man? They gotta be rebellious. March to the beat of their own drummer and whatnot. Like jerks.
Damn those toy rebels. Anyway, we'll probably have more updates on this because it's CM's Corp. Hopefully it'll happen, and hopefully it will. I just hope it'll turn out like their better stuff and not like their not so good stuff. Because when you say CM's Corp and you say hit or miss, I think that's a great way to describe everything I've ever seen them put out.
Yeah, and the few CM's Corp toys I have are some of the best figures that I own.
Mm-hmm.
Like that Griffin from Pat Labor with the wing version.
Mm-hmm.
That is an amazing figure. It is highly regarded. Diecast, posable robot, super awesome. And they have done some things, even in the same line, that are absolute garbage and are abhorred in general from the robot community.
Yep.
So,
or in my case, I have two of their $200+ Gaugaigar releases. I've got Gaufygar and I've got the smaller Genesic Gaugaigar. It's amazing toys. Amazing toys. Everyone should experience them. Not everyone should pay money for them, though. Because that Genesic Gaugaigar, they did it. It transforms. It also can barely stand up under its own weight because it's always threatening to implode under the weight of all the components that are assembled to make that up.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. I hope this turns out well, but I can't go in with massive amounts of optimism just with my history with the company. Anyway, going on from that that chosen picture, let's go into some new picture picks. Seth, I want to hear yours.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Hey, man. Hey, mans.
Hey.
Assorted mans.
That's my superhero name.
Oh, you mans. So, Redbox. Those DVD kiosks.
Yep.
Yo, 100 of them across all 50 United States of Americas are becoming bumblebees.
So,
and by becoming bumblebees, they're putting a big bumblebee sticker on them that says Transformers Dark on the Moon.
Are either of you regular Redbox users?
No, I just use Netflix.
I have in the past.
I have used
which thankfully is no longer becoming Quixter, thank God.
Oh, you guys heard about that amazing new name they had for Netflix called Quixter? Oh man, this sounds so cool. It's
over.
It's a quick. I saw people tweeting about Quixter, and it actually took me a while to realize. I was like, "What's everyone talking about? Why are they so happy that this poor guy died? What's going on?" And I was like, "Oh, it's Netflix. Is okay. They don't have that in Canada." That's outside of my
wheelhouse.
Johnny
Quixter died in a car accident.
Johnny Quixter!
Poor Johnny. Millions celebrate his death, though.
So if you
all morbid bastards.
If you see a red box with Bumblebee on it, would that inspire you to decide to use it, you know, just to be nice to Bumblebee?
No. Like, there's only... Man, the only... And I think there's one at Lucky's, but I don't go to Lucky's. They used to have one at Safeway. That's my shopping supermarket of choice. And, somebody's honking. And they had a Redbox machine, and it was cool. I used it periodically. And then Safeway, doing the thing that Safeway does, they kick Redbox out, and they bring in a Blockbuster machine.
Ugh. Man, and, Blockbuster, that's a successful brand.
Yeah, that's a good omen.
Yeah. And Safeway used to have a Coinstar machine, and one of the things you could do with a Coinstar machine is you dump all your coins in, prints out a little receipt, you take it to the service counter, and then you get cash for it. They deduct a percentage as a little service charge for sorting out your coins for you, or you could get like a gift card to like Amazon or somewhere and not pay the service charge. and that's pretty good. So Safeway got rid of the Coinstar machine and brought in, like, Coin Master or something like that. That doesn't give you the option.
Coin Master?
Yeah, I think it's called Coin Master.
I'm the Coin Master.
So Safeway starts with something, you know, that works and is cool, and then brings in, like, a crappier version of it afterwards. So I don't know what Safeway's problem is. So, I mean, I believe there's at least two other red boxes in this great Petaluma town, but they're all kind of far away and not really worth the effort to go to. But I mean, the way this thing's written up about it, it's kind of overblown, like saying that they're transforming 100 of it. Wow, 100 kiosks. They're really investing in this program.
By transforming, does that mean they're just swapping the cardboard thing that's in the front of the kiosk?
Yeah. Well, okay. They put transforming in quotes. Like, we're transforming it.
Oh, okay. I'm transforming my bottle from open to closed right now.
In quotes.
Yeah, but I guess all the machines are numbered, and then I don't know.
You visit them all?
Them or something.
If you visit them all, do they combine into a robot, and then you can have red boxes
text
drawn?
Bumblebee. It says text Bumblebee and the number associated with each kiosk to 727272, and that will put your city on the map. And then everyone could come there and see this totally sweet Bumblebee red box.
Because if you don't do that, no one can come to your city again. Ever.
No. Well, nobody will know that they should come to your city and not one of the 99 others. But then you're entered to win a Blu-ray player and a year of free Blu-ray rentals. Great. But, so, I mean, this is kind of messed up. So, it's a contest, right? But only 99 cities in the entire United States are going to be able to play. So, guess what? Guess right now. If you don't live in a big city, like, if you live in a town that, like, most people haven't heard of, like Petaluma or Novato or, you know, Springfield, unless you're, like, one of the big Springfields. And then even that one, probably not. Like, unless, like, think of the 100 biggest cities in the country. We're talking your New Yorks, your Chicagos, your Dallases, your Houstons, your St. Louis's. Those are the ones that are going to get this. I'm telling you right now. That's why if you're listening to this and you don't live in a big giant city, you know what? You're probably not going to win anything from McDonald's or when they do their little Monopoly game thing. You're not going to win anything good. You're going to win a free breakfast sandwich that's not an Egg McMuffin. That's what you're going to win. Because they know where the big prizes are going. And they want to get them in the big cities where they target who the winners are going to be. It's all rigged. All these things are rigged. You're never going to win. Don't even try. Give up now. Roll over. Play dead.
What if...
This is years of bitterness of living in suburbs coming to a boil before everyone's eyes.
What if we're people too. We count.
What if I like McGriddles and I live in a suburb? Will I be happy?
Dude, you're sick. You're a sick individual.
I've never had a McGriddle. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I've only smelled them when I was near somebody else eating them. And it's just like, it's like, really? You're the bun of your sandwich is a sticky pancake. It's a pancake with little holes, and all the little holes have like syrup in them. Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe it's you know, you've had a long night. You just need that shot of experience and physical interaction and tactile feedback. You just get one of those. You just squeeze it shut in your hand and shove it in your face, and you just, you know, it'll rouse you back from the land of the living.
And a night of like debauchery and drinking and illicit activity. You gotta bring it back to earth with a McGriddle. Or is that the final act of self-destruction?
It's the final act of self-destruction. That's what ends the night. Okay. You're like, no, I'll be fine. Just get some sugar and McGriddle me. And you stuff in your mouth, like, oh, it's so good. And you just, like, pass out. Like in the McDonald's, in the kids' playpen. You sink under the balls, and then you puke. And you just start singing Amazing Grace. Anyway.
So I'm not impressed with this Redbox thing.
No? Are you? Okay.
Whoop-de-doo. Hey, remember at the 07 BotCon when the post office was doing that thing with Lucas and they were painting mailboxes to look like R2-D2 and there was actually one of those like right near the mall where the convention was?
Oh, yeah.
That was actually kind of cool. That was actually kind of cool. This is not cool. They just, the little plate in the front of the machine where they put the ad for whatever the big thing is, it just happens to be the Transformer one. And then there's a cruddy contest attached to it.
Whee! And somewhere out there, the designer of this contest decided to no longer frequent our podcast.
Well, they're a no-talent hack anyway.
And somewhere out there, Bill Rawley once again says, why don't they like anything I do?
I think red boxes are kind of cool, and like they've recently started adding video games, which is also pretty neat. Because if you're just going to watch a movie, and like you don't need to hang on to it for any amount of time, you're just like, oh, I want to get a movie. And Netflix is going to be a couple days, but here's this machine right here where I was already buying a Slurpee at the 7-Eleven. I could just go, boop, boop. Hey, that movie looks all right. It spits out. You bring it back the next day, it was like a dollar. That's not a bad deal.
Oh, it sounds downright reasonable. Anyway, that's been our review of Redbox. If you like that review, please tune in for more on the Redbox Reviewing Agency. Gog, I want to know your new picture pick.
Got some rather strange news, I think. IDW has announced Infestation 2, which, if anyone doesn't know what Infestation 1 was, is a big crossover event they did with Transformers and G.I. Joe and Star Trek. I think that was it, mostly.
Godzilla wasn't involved, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
And they also had bookends of just standalone Infestation issues with, I think, original IDW characters. They've announced Infestation 2. Two things different from this. Number one, it's not going to involve zombies, because that was the deal with Infestation 1. It was these zombies that were crossing dimensions, going into all these other continuities and having to have those characters deal with the situation. This isn't going to be...
Is it going to be bedbugs?
It's not going to be bedbugs. You're close.
That'd be a bummer, dude. Like, if you were an Autobot and you got bed bugs, that'd suck.
It would be a bummer if they had those metal eating. No, never mind. I was thinking of the flesh eating bugs from X-Men. That freaked me out when I read that comic. I think his name was I can't remember his name. He was that one Weapon X guy that had adamantium skin. And then the one guy was trying to get adamantium back to give to Wolverine because he was still metalless from when Magneto pulled it out. And they set the bugs on him and it ate his flesh from the inside out and left nothing but his hollowed out adamantium skin.
I don't know what you're talking about, but that sounds kind of awesome.
it really left me with a dark place for a while when I was a kid and I read that. I was like, that's... Because the guy was kind of like happy-go-lucky before he got eaten alive.
But well, anyway. Yeah, you'd think. That would kind of spoil anybody's day, I suppose.
Up until he got eaten alive, he was a real joy to be around. Now he's just a bummer.
I can't remember that guy's name, but he was pretty cool.
I can't remember his name. I forgot his name. I look at him, and he just makes me sad.
But anyway, it's not zombies. It's not bed bugs. It's not flesh-eating insects set loose upon mutants. They are Cthulhuian, Lovecraftian old ones. We're going to have tentacled interdimensional space monsters that are going to be set upon us in different continuities, including G.I. Joe, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is a good book, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Transformers, but
what Transformers are they?
That's the thing.
What about Star Trek?
This isn't going to be. I don't know. I didn't see it.
Star Trek would be unfair. They just shoot it with spaceships.
Yeah. I'll show you, Cthulhu. Pew pew. set phasers to level 9. But it's not going to be the mainstream Transformers continuity. Apparently, they're bringing back Hearts of Steel just for this crossover event, which is kind of crazy, mm-hmm. but also kind of fitting, too, because most of that Lovecraft stuff kind of took place like back in the early 1900s or late 1800s, like that kind of era.
Mm-hmm.
And so for them to be battling Cthulhu demons in the steam age is kind of neat, I think.
I think it's great. You know, because whenever there's a certain continuity of Transformers comics, I always kind of make fun of for having so much potential that completely was wasted. It was Hearts of Steel. So if this is a way to return to Hearts of Steel and actually do something with it, that's awesome. My one fear is this is going to be, what's a Transformers continuity that we can completely sacrifice and have get obliterated by Cthulhu to show how badass Cthulhu is? That's my one worry. Like when they had that DC comic, I forgot what it was called, but it's back when they had this miniseries where some bad guy was pulling in Elseworlds versions of the same character and having them fight each other. And then often they'd pull in like all these Elseworlds versions of characters and then just like kill them off to show how badass people are. And I was like, that's not really fun. Like, I'm kind of worried about that.
Well, the cool thing that they're doing with this is they're actually bringing back the Hearts of Steel creative team, Guido Guidi and writer Chuck Dixon.
That already makes me feel better about it.
Yeah, I liked Hearts of Steel. The only thing I didn't like was the ending, where they basically defeated the Decepticons by derailing Astro Train.
The bridge! The bridge is out! Astro Train!
Yeah.
Do the Astro part! I forgot! Ow!
I'm just a train! I'm nothing more! That Decepticons are defeated.
I still remember when I saw that panel, I was just sitting there, and I saw that panel, I was like, okay, and I turned the page and the book was done, and I was like, wait, what? And I like went back, and I was like, am I missing pages from my issue? Is that really how this four-month saga ended, was they drove off a cliff?
Yeah, so as long as they find a more creative way to defeat the old ones, then, yeah, I'm down.
All the old ones get shoved off a cliff.
They called in the original guys that created Hearts of Steel, and they're like, we have called you back here to recreate Hearts of Steel. We wish you to do a new book. And they're like, hey, great. He goes, yes, but you will have to destroy your creation with a space monster. Ha ha ha. Like, they're evil villains. Like, they brought them back to destroy their own thing. You must kill your own child for our amusement.
Oh, space monsters. You mean as Quintessons, right? No, Cthulhu. Oh.
What's not Cthulhu?
Yeah.
Just non-specific tentacle demon from deep space.
Cthulhu without any kind of copyright is what you may use. Oh, okay, I guess.
How did they get there? The stars were aligned.
This whole multi-comic event is just to make you destroy your own creation. If it was all Kevin Eastman's idea...
He hates everything. I like Kevin Eastman.
And Kevin Eastman, like, there's like a big high back chair, and it slowly turns around, and Kevin Eastman's stroking a cat. Or no, he's stroking a big turtle. And he's all, that is nothing but Ninja Turtles.
And then...
all the IDW books are going to get wiped out, except for Ninja Turtles, who will save the day and rescue all the other books.
If this means we can have...
Everything will be a slave to the Ninja Turtles.
If this means we can have Transformers meeting Ninja Turtles, I'm kind of cool with that.
No, see, we got our hopes up last time, because we were all like, oh, what if Spock met with whoever?
Wreck-Gar.
Yeah. And we all had like all these crazy theories, and they're with the actual characters of the books, there's no crossover at all. It's just the adversary of the day.
Yeah.
That's showing up in all the books.
Well, no, in all the other books, all the heroes are going to be like completely defeated and on the verge of death by the giant tentacle, and then the tentacle monsters will just all die for no explained reason. But over in the Ninja Turtle book, the Ninja Turtles like solve the whole thing, They do all the work. They rescue all the different continuities and different dimensions, and because, you know, that's the way they roll. Like that. That's how it goes. Because Eastman paid them off or something. I don't know.
I want to have a panel in every book that has the main character of the book just looking to the stars and saying, "Thank you, Ninja Turtles." With no context at all.
With their eyes glazed over, yes, as if they're filled with tears.
Yes. No, they have to have just like these glorious streams of water just coming from the bottom of their eyes, but a stoic, you know, stiff upper lip. Like, thank you, Ninja Turtles. The end.
And G.I. Joe, like the tentacle monster just drops dead, and Scarlet's like, "Duke, what does it mean?" And Duke looks to the sky. "Turtle, Scarlet. It was all the turtles." "How do you know that?" "Shut up.
Get over here."
"Don't you got sandwiches to make?"
Oh, G.I. Joe. So looking forward to seeing Infestation return. I like these kind of events. I know that they've been much maligned by a lot of the comic reading public ever since Marvel Zombies, but it's still kind of fun to me. I don't know. I've never been able to get really again. Even when Marvel Zombies kind of irritated me, by the time they had their fifth or sixth iteration, I can't remember which one it was, I was still kind of okay with it. So I'm sort of looking forward to seeing how this turns out.
What's the next big cliche thing they're going to do?
Apes.
What's left?
Everyone's monkeys.
That's not that cliche.
I don't know.
Vampires.
Vampires. Oh, but like pretty emo vampires?
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, it'd be the pretty emo vampires or the good ones versus the decrepit, decaying, flesh-eating vampires.
And all the comic book heroes are stuck in the middle.
They're all like, who can we trust, the vampires or the vampires?
The vampires show up in the Transformers continuity, and they're like, well, not a lot of damage we can do here, and just strut their ass back out onto the next
book. This is a waste of time.
But it's two different kinds of vampires and not werewolves. Pretty werewolves.
Werewolves are only pretty when they don't have shirts on. We all know
the vampires realize that. The vampires realize they have a taste for Energon.
But they can't. Come here, but they Aussie. Can't. They can't bite through the metal, so they're just sitting there gnawing on Transformers. And the Transformers like, "What, guys? What the hell?
Would you be so inclined as to expose your Energon jugular? Thank you, ma'am."
And a hypnotized Transformers.
Or like, you know, all these networks are trying to bite off Mad Men and have their show in the 60s. So maybe you'll be like something involving the 60s.
Vampires, Transformers, and the 60s. Infestation 3.
In the 60s.
Coming to newsstands 2013. I'd fund it.
And every comic would have some scene with somebody smoking somewhere you can't smoke anymore without being a total jerk.
And just everyone's so okay with it. You could
have like, "Oh man, that's so weird. Optimus Prime is smoking in an elevator.
How is he smoking? I don't know, guys." I have two small picks I'd like to drop. After this amazing couple of chosen pictures. The first one is just a small update on the up-and-coming superstar of the third-party world, Dr. Wu.
Woo!
Woo! Apparently, Dr. Wu is working on a third-party Unicron head, but the problem is that all that Dr. Wu has revealed is that it's going to be a Unicron head with a transparent base that can replace the head on the Armada Unicron mold. So, you know, there's not much to discuss about it, but at the same time, I know I can trust in Dr. Wu.
Woo.
Because this dude makes some goddamn Sharktacons. So I'm looking forward to having some more news from the fringe of the third-party world. The renegade, the outlaw, the cowboy, Dr. Wu.
Woo-woo.
But that aside, there's only a piece of artwork, and the piece of artwork just looks like Unicron's head. We also got, just a follow-up on Fall of Cybertron's coverage last week, we got a video of the Optimus Prime model. And not to drop spoilers here, but the video is basically the camera spinning around Optimus Prime constantly as Optimus Prime stands in an alpha build map. Now, I'm not sure if this means there's going to be some feature in the game whereby the camera is constantly spinning around your character, but what we did see is that Optimus Prime, he's more raw. He's got lots of little moving parts on him, and he transforms into a, quote, fist on wheels. But that's all that the video really showed. There's not lots to say outside of what he looks like, and to me, he still looks like Optimus Prime. People have had some problems with the ears they chose on his design. I don't mind them. They make me think of some of the later 90s Optimus Prime head designs. Some people have also had some problems with how huge he is, because he does look like he has, like, tree trunk thick parts to his body.
Like his legs.
Yes, his legs are... These
giant, fat legs.
He uses those to step on people. Get in the way of freedom, but I don't know. I was curious about your guys' thoughts on the design, or maybe any thoughts you had just on the sparse little bit of info we have on Fall of Cybertron so far, Seth.
Well, the background that he's setting in, I am encouraged by it, because one of my little niggling complaints about War for Cybertron was all the terrain just looked the same. And not just because, oh, you're on a metal planet, so of course everything has to be like metal buildings and hallways and whatnot, but just the texture and the colors, everything just looked too the same. Like, there was no variety whatsoever. This looks different than pretty much anything in the first game. And there's, like, some different shades, and it's all still metal and whatnot, but it looks like different metals. And in that video, they even talk about, like, separating materials, so it looks like they took that into account, and they're making it look like it's not just the entire planet is made out of this one type of metal, like different metals and different parts, which lets them have different shades and textures, and I think that's going to go a long, long way in making that just more interesting to look at as a game.
Alrighty, and Gog, what about you? Any preliminary war? I almost said War of the Fall of Cybertron. Fall of Cybertron.
War of the Dark of the Moon. War of Cybertron.
The Dark of the Fall of the Moon of the Autumn.
The Fall of the High Moon above Cybertron's Fall.
Huntington and Whiteley.
With war.
Revenge.
In the beginning, war was beginning. no,
the start.
War the back. Yeah, because we haven't gotten to talk about this at all yet. At least me and Seth. But yeah, so far what I'm seeing, I like quite a bit. The shots we got with Cliffjumper, like all those backgrounds look, it definitely looks a lot better, I think, than what we saw in the previous game. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this, because they've got their engine down. It seems like they've taking the framework that they've built on the first game and trying to improve it. I mean, information right now is very sparse, but so what little I've seen so far, I'm very interested in. I dug War for Cybertron. It wasn't a perfect game, but I mean, the War for Cybertron was a first game, first generation product of a what appears to be at least a multiple game franchise of at least two games.
Yeah.
And of course they did the Dark of the Moon game in the same engine. So I assume that there's some crossover there as far as people who worked on it. I mean, they have different directors and overall people in charge of them, but the actual people that are working on the games themselves, I assume that there's a lot there. So they now have two Transformers games under their belt, and they know that there's a lot of stuff that people dug. And at least after the Dark of the Moon game, there's some stuff that didn't... They tried switching up a little bit, and I think the general consensus was some of that stuff didn't work. So now they don't have to be constrained by the movie story. They're back in their own home turf where they can hopefully, you know, have a lot more freedom in, as far as what they can do. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I want that I saw here when we were looking at the pictures... Did we have? I mean, I know we had a Cliffjumper toy that was repainted from Bumblebee, but did Cliffjumper appear in the? He didn't appear in War for Cybertron proper.
I want to say he was in the Wii game.
Okay, so that wasn't even made by the same people. Because what I'm noticing here is he seems to kind of resemble the Transformers Prime head a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just... Because... And I don't want to get too much into Prime spoilers, but one thing that we've talked about was in the past was Hasbro's insistence that Transformers Prime and Exodus and War for Cybertron were all in the same continuity, and a lot of that stuff really didn't match up other than in the most general of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Such as just the inclusion of Dark Energon and stuff. But as we've kind of started seeing towards the end of Prime, some of that stuff seems to match up a little bit better. And I'm wondering, it seems maybe that, because I think they declared a little early that Prime was supposed to be in continuity with War for Cybertron to yeah. some degree. I think that happened after both creative teams had already been on their own tracks. But the impression that I've got from Prime is now that they are kind of into their own creative thing, they've had time to go back and maybe start incorporating a little bit of that stuff. And I think that we're starting to see that in Prime in the season finale. They've definitely started tying it back, at least to a possible degree, because they've already set a precedent of some stuff is never going to match up ever.
Yeah,
so I'm wondering if this game, if Hasbro is kind of working with them story wise like they are with the Prime people and doing the whole trying to at least have some like semblance sync. of yeah a little bit.
And it was sync just something
like
up.
Yeah. I mean, this doesn't look like Prime Cliffjumper to me, but the head kind of looks like maybe it took a little bit of inspiration from him versus G1 Cliffjumper. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it may mean absolutely nothing. It may just be a complete coincidence, or I may be the only person that sees it. But
no, I think it definitely looks more like Prime than G1 Cliffjumper.
Yeah, I suspect that now that both franchises, like both sub franchises, are into their, you know, going into their second parts, like, you know, we're getting the second War for Cybertron game. Prime's had a season under its belt now. I think that maybe they are trying to synchronize a little bit better, especially with the way that, you know, I don't want to say too much, but, you know, we'll talk about it in future podcasts. But definitely it feels like there's more.
Oh, finish your thought.
I was going to say, definitely it feels like there is more intentional crossover going on now rather than kind of maybe almost unintentional crossover. So
I just hope they don't wuss out and cave into the casual gamers and not have ammunition pickups.
Oh, you mean like from...
Because everyone's like, I can't find any ammo. I keep running out of ammo.
I found ammo everywhere in that game. I don't know where people
are... It's so hard. I have no bullets.
Did I give this pro tip already? Here's how you find ammo in War for Cybertron. Number one.
I don't know how to find ammo.
Number one, when you shoot at stuff, right? When you shoot at stuff, make sure you're actually hitting it.
Stuff?
Okay? Hit stuff.
Okay.
When you shoot at it. Okay. Number two, when you see ammo pickups, pick them up. All right. Now you have ammo.
No. But I shouldn't have to.
Also, if a guy is standing right in front of you, melee him. All right, because you can do that too.
But I'm on shoe stuff. If I wanted to hit things, I'd play a hockey game.
Things with a gun, I'd be playing Space Marine.
Yeah.
Maybe I just played too many video games, but I never understood the low ammo thing. I mean, I had trouble opening mission when I play as Megatron. Yes, there's low ammo because my gun blows stuff in half when I shoot it, so I have to hit with it. That's how I saw that game.
Well, one of the things with the Dark and the Moon game is they didn't have ammo. You had unlimited ammo. Like, every now and then you would have to cool down. Like, when you shot too much, there was, like, this little in-between, as though you were reloading. But you never had to worry about ammo. And it was that it took away game of it. And there were no weapon pickups. So you just, okay, these are the guns I have for this level. And there's no variety. There's no reason to ever care about how much you're shooting because you're never going to run out of shots. And it just, it takes away from, it just takes away from the game. Mm. Like, because when you don't have to worry about it, you're just shooting.
Yeah. And it's
a whole element of thought and strategy. It's like, I'm going to make do with this lesser gun. Like, I found two guns. I got this one that's really awesome, and I got this weaker one, but I'm not going to bother using my awesome gun on these enemies because these are the lame cannon fodder enemies. I want to make sure that I don't run out of ammo. It's like, oh, there's an ammo box there. I'm going to switch to my awesome gun now. I'm going to get a bunch of shots out because I'm just going to refill it over here. Or I'm running low on ammo, so now I'm going to start using the melee more until I find some ammo. So it's a way to get you to try more aspects of the fighting.
Yeah.
Where with the Dark of the Moon game, I think the only thing that made me want to use melee was there was like an achievement attached to it. And then once I got that achievement, I really never needed to do it again. Most enemies you were better off shooting at. So, you know, leave the ammo pickups in there.
Well, maybe we aren't all Mr. Superpower video gamer, like,
And it's like, oh god, Gears of War sucks so much because I have to look for ammo all the time.
I just want to hold down the trigger and never let go.
And walk around the game world. And watch myself win.
just hold down the shoot button and up on the stick to move forward and just go in a straight line from the beginning of the level to the end.
I lead a busy life. I don't have time really to play a lot of games. So I need the games to cater to my lifestyle and just let me win them by holding the button. I mean, I'm tired after... Listen, I go to work. Okay, I'm tired after work. I don't have time to push buttons.
When I eat dinner, I want to just be able to replace my thumb pushing up on the stick with a rubber band. And damn it, when I come back, I want to see progress.
But you know, the casual gamer is the linchpin of the industry, and we totally respect that.
Well, then you put in. That's what the difficulty levels are for. You play on easy,
but
when you're not a big time gamer.
But there's an achievement for playing on expert. How am I supposed to get the achievement for playing expert if I can't beat expert?
Tough.
There's two things I want to see in Fall of Cybertron. I want to see host migration on multiplayer, and I want them to bring back the scientist.
Please do.
Because that was one... I never played the Dark of the Moon game, but I heard the lack of specialist classes and the game kind of took a bit away from the multiplayer.
Well, also, I thought the scientist... I never played the scientist, but I thought the scientist was great because it wasn't immediately accessible, but if you were on a team with someone who was good at being a scientist, it was awesome because they brought a very...
I'm a scientist.
Yeah, they brought a unique bit of flair and flavor to what they did, and they felt awesome because, hey, they're the scientists, and they're actually getting to, you know, do their science and help out the team.
E equals MC, I kicked your ass.
I want them to have a science gun that just shoots equations at people.
Shoop, shoo. I'm shooting science all up in this.
But, okay, I got an answer for your question on how you get the achievement for beating it on expert. You go into co-op and you ride some other people's coattails.
Are you telling me I have to interact with other people when I play my video game online?
Yeah, it's the easiest way.
It's unacceptable.
I mean, that's what I do.
I don't play video games online to interact with people. I play them online to win. Ow, my eye is starting to hurt. I don't know why.
I'm working on Gears of War in the online co-op, and I just get like some badass dudes like Noise Maze, who are just like video game savants. And I just hide in the back going, oh man, I'm almost out of ammo, even though I haven't shot like once. It's like, oh, this battle's hard. And
oh, geez. Meanwhile,
they're off killing everything. Every now and then, I like down myself with a grenade, just like, oh, I got shot.
Oh, please. Oh, no. Oh, man.
Meanwhile, I'm like 2 miles behind everybody else, like, oh, God. Oh, this is so hard, isn't it, guys? Oh.
That photo of Cliffjumper from Fall of Cybertron, by the way, came from a list of the weapons in the game, which include things like the Pulsar Cannon, the Scrap Maker that I recall from War for Cybertron, the Chaos Rift Combustor, the Dimensional Decimator, the Energon Harvester, Gear Shredder, Nucleon Charge Rifle, Riot Cannon, Photon Burst Rifle, and possibly many more. The only other thing I've heard from Fall of Cybertron that had my interest piqued is you might have heard last week when I was like, why is there a T-Rex Grimlock on Cybertron? I also saw in a news release something about the Combaticons and a Bruticus, which means that two things that I distinctly recall the dev team of War for Cybertron talking about as things that they couldn't do in War for Cybertron, that being dinosaurs and combiners, seem to perhaps have some kind of presence in the fiction of Fall of Cybertron.
Well, there was also Triptychon was in the first one, and he's a dinosaur. In fact, his Japanese name is Dinosaur.
Because he dinosaurs?
Yeah. Everybody does the dinosaur.
Well, wasn't the logic behind not wanting to do combiners in the first game that they were only going to be able to have so many characters and they didn't want to commit to like half their roster for one of the sides being all one group?
I remember it was something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, now they haven't.
So now they've already established all those characters, and now they can bring in new ones.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this turns out. I hope I can see some cool stuff at New York Comic Con, or at least have a nice chat with Matt Teager if I name drop Seth enough.
Do you want me to like call him and be like, "Hey, Matt"?
Dude, that'd be awesome if you could call him and say like, "Hey,
nice to that dude." Yeah.
This Canadian, he doesn't know what New York is, and he's probably been beaten up. If you can just, you know, talk to him for a little while, tell him how to get around. Anyway.
I actually can't call him.
Oh.
I was just trying to make myself sound like a big shot.
Want me to call up Matt Teager? I got him on my voice right here. Dip-a-dip. Hello, Matt Teager. Yeah, you're awesome. Bye-bye. Click. Yeah, I was really talking to him. It's true. We got a somewhat out of the blue piece of news to cover here after New Pick Picks. Something that I first saw on Toy, in fact, and thought was some dude just making things up. And then all of a sudden, Big Bad Toy Store has pictures to go with it. So, boom. Transformers United returns with some crazy lineup stuff here. They're all deluxes, I think, or they're being sold in a deluxe-ish way. And this listing includes stuff like Rodimus Convoy. The picture attached to this is the Battle in Space Rodimus, which would...
Oh, no!
Yeah, why would you guys want... Anyway, after that is Warpath, as Big Bad Toy Store lists him, Wapasu, which is an interesting name.
Is that his Native American name?
Wapasu, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Then after that is something with a new deco, Thunder Megatron. And I see the thumbnail. I'm like, oh, dude, it's a little purple Megatron. Did they do a little tank Megatron? And I look at it, and it's from that two-pack, the Classics two-pack Megatron, who doesn't have a real hand. Has been redecoed for a third time and is being sold on his own for the second time. He's being sold at a Japanese deluxe price. Guys, don't buy Thunder Megatron, okay? Don't spend that much money on... This is like, you know, you remember when you bought that United Deluxe Optimus Prime and it was the one whose chest spins in circles and you paid like 2,000 yen for it? You're about to do it again, okay? Like, Just take a step back. Think about this. Anyway, moving on from there. They're also getting Thunderwing, because they didn't get Thunderwing. And then they're getting another two-pack of Scouts, much like the vaunted Rumble and Frenzy. They're getting another rare Scout in two-pack form. This is Windcharger and Decepticon Wipeout, which seems to be, much like Rumble and Frenzy, Windcharger and Windcharger in red and in extremely dark blue, if not black. This is like even down to the color palettes. This is a mirror of the Rumble and Frenzy 2-pack. And another way to get Windcharger, you know, for a lot of money, because two Scouts often is sold as a Voyager in Japan. After that, this is where it gets nuts. Okay, first up, Axelon. The picture is of Energon Sharkticon. Which is, granted, one of the best deluxes to come out of Energon, a toy I still love to this day. I looked at this, and I looked at the name, and I want to say that there's no way he's just being released in those colors. They've got to be taking him and repainting him to look like something like the Axelon, maybe, from Beast Wars or something. Why would you call a purple and yellow shark-shaped thing the Axelon with a giant Decepticon symbol on the front? He's got... That cannot possibly be the final deco. After that is Arc Unicron, which is the Cybertron Deluxe Unicron, which, thinking about it, I don't think Japanese collectors ever had a chance of buying domestically. So that, think about this. This is a deluxe toy that they missed out on, like, 5 years ago, and now it's going to come out in a deluxe line. That, like, if this was happening over here, this would be kind of big news. So I think this is great for the Japanese collectors. And also, they're getting the Deluxe Optimus Primal and Beast Wars Megatron from Cybertron. Those are another two toys that I don't think they got in any kind of domestic release. So, while some might look at this lineup and say, at some of the stuff in here, I know that they also never got Energon Sharkticon, so this is kind of cool, because this is literally a whole bunch of toys they never had a chance to buy domestically. A majority of this, anyway. So this is great news for Japanese fans. Hopefully there will be some more new decos in here to make it a little bit more enticing for folks on our end of the globe, and especially with Axelon. I love this toy, and I like the color scheme, but the color scheme only works when his name is Sharkticon. He needs to be repainted for this. but what's your guys' take on this whole thing? Gog, what do you think about the new United lineup?
I didn't realize that... Japan never got Energon Sharkticon at all.
Yeah, no, he was only in the US, Slugslinger as well.
Okay, because I was looking at this, and I was like, well, I see the logic behind a lot of these, like the Beast Wars figures and Unicron, because I know those were never released in Japan, but the Sharkticon to me was just completely random, like it made no sense, but now it does.
In fact, they never got Sharkticon, they never got Windcharger, and they never got Thunderwing or Warpath.
Yeah, and what's weird too is because we're getting Black Shadow, also known as Sky Shadow, mm-hmm. and that kind of blows my mind too that they're getting Thunderwing ahead of Black Shadow, since they already have the retooling for the Japanese version, and because they never had Thunderwing over there. They had Black Shadow, and we got Thunderwing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we're gonna have both, and they're getting the American one first.
Yeah, so that kind of really surprised me as well. So, just, yeah. So now that I understand that about the Sharkticon, now this makes a lot more sense, because I was, like I said, I justified a lot of these, like, well, yeah, so many of these had never been released in Japan, but then there were just all these weird, random choices, but...
Calling him Axelon, though, like, that's gotta mean something.
I mean, I even, like, went back and looked at the name just to see if I didn't recall something, and there's never been a character called Axelon. It's always been ships, so yeah. It's
and
so strange.
He turns into a ship-looking thing, so, yeah. I mean, my sort of speculation prediction is that it's more likely he's probably going to be repainted to look like a spaceship, and then they'll just say, oh yeah, he's the Axelon from Beast Wars. But
that's still crazy, though.
That would be insane, because the Axelon never turned into a shark-themed robot. But it's just, that's the only way I can make sense of the naming scheme on him. But Seth, how about you? What do you think? Are you going to pick up some of these new Uniteds?
Probably not. Maybe Warpath. Or Wapasu, whichever.
Wapasu.
Whatever makes you feel better. But otherwise, no.
Did Did you never get Domestic Warpath?
Never seen it. Ever.
Do you want me to get you one? Because I see that wave all the time.
Never, ever. Maybe let's talk about it after.
Okay.
If you get him one, then that means he'll have one.
Yeah, and then I won't have to get Wapasu.
Yeah, for $30 before shipping.
Yeah. F that, man.
No. That's okay. Warpath for $30 before shipping. If you really want the toy, at least you're getting a good toy out of it. How much is Thunder Megatron before shipping?
Probably the same.
No, he's 38 before shipping.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
I saw that.
Don't do it. Okay.
Saw that, and I was like, no, but I don't care what you can paint that thing in chrome gold and call it a lucky draw. I ain't paying $40 for that toy.
Let's have real talk here for a second. People new to the fandom, all right, you're thinking, no, but it's G2 Megatron. There are better G2 Megatron toys. They don't exist yet, but they're better than that. Did I mention he doesn't have a right hand ever at all in any way, shape, or form? You see how that thing's sticking sideways off the stump? That's all it ever does. He has a gun on his hand that points away from wherever he's pointing his arm. Anyway.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, this whole wave isn't for us. This is for the Japanese consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, great. I mean, they're going to get access to stuff they never had access to before. Good for them. But this really doesn't have anything to do with us.
Good for you!
We're making fun of and complaining about stuff that was never meant for us in the first place.
Okay, then can I just put it?
Really, it's kind of douchey for us to be complaining about it.
Can I just put a word
because
out?
Because it's not Hasbro, it's not for North America. So
yeah, can I just put a word out then? To all the Japanese fans who are not listening to this podcast but are in my imagination, if you ever thought that just because you didn't get it, that Tank Megatron might be cool, it's not. It's only cool if you like crappy toys. And sometimes I like crappy toys, so I like the one I have, but I didn't pay $38 for it, or whatever the yen conversion is. Even if you live in Japan, 2,000 yen is better spent on... You save up 800 more yen, you skip one bento, you can get yourself an SH figure art for that price. Alright, think about this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the only figure we're making fun of is that Megatron, and it deserves it. So...
But what if they're a mold completionist, and you're telling them that they're bad people now?
Then they can have mine for free.
You can get that mold.
Making them feel.
You can get that mold for a lot less than 2,000 yen, is all I'm going
to
say.
And that was kind of racist of you to assume that they're spending their money on bento boxes. Maybe they're going to, you know, McDonald's. You don't know.
Actually,
you don't know. You're projecting your own... preconceptions.
In Japan, they would be
Japanese
calling it
culture on people.
In Japan, they'd call it MacDo. What I learned.
Well, maybe they're going to MacDo and getting a double quarter shut up. With a large side of wasabi fries.
Oh, wow. Anyway, that's our coverage of the upcoming Transformers United toys. So look forward to those if you are looking forward to that kind of thing. Let's do a listener question here. We've got
so racist. You guys are so racist.
I can do that. I live there. I lived there once before we did the podcast.
I did too.
Yeah, we've been there, man. We we earned our
that, and you brought back like hateful thoughts.
I did. We have a listener question from Chilliwackamus Prime. Sent this off of YouTube in mid-August, in August 15th, 2011. He says, "Greetings, WTF podcast crew! In light of Reprolabel's more recent pictures in mid-August of their Reveal the Shield Perceptor upgrade set, giving Perceptor a much more IDW-styled face, I was wondering what your take on a fully sculpted version of an IDW head done by perhaps a third-party company, much akin to what iGear did with Cup's head. Would you like to see that? And of course, along with his trademark sniper rifle, is there any other accessories that a set like this could include? Thanks, guys. The podcast rocks, and keep up the great work. Grin!" I think that'd be cool. Right off the top of my head, Gog, you have had a history with that Perceptor toy.
Yeah, I mean, I like that Perceptor toy in theory. I cannot stand how that backpack works, and it's an incredibly flawed design. If that thing was rock solid, I mean, I don't mind the look of it. I wouldn't mind leveling that dude up to IDW. Like, that's fine. Like, that would be great. But as it stands now, no, I have no desire to pump money into that because unless they release something that would fix that backpack problem, which would probably not going to happen. So if he was a better figure, sure, I'd be interested in that. But as it stands now, no, I'm not going to invest money into a figure that is just going to flop around like a dolphin dropped in the middle of the road off the back of a truck.
Why did you do that to the dolphin?
I didn't. Hasbro did.
Hasbro kills dolphins. Seth, how would you take a Perceptor head done in the same way as that cup head that came out?
I don't know. I don't think the Perceptor head really needs to be upgraded.
Hmm.
The cup head didn't really need it either. I just happen to think that the accursed eye gear head looked better in the end. And I really wanted like the Saigar. Because I was like the tough as nails, like army sergeant guy chomping on the cigar stump. That's always a good look. But yeah, for like other figures, because it sounds like he's asking like, would you like to see this ever again? Sort of a thing. I think like the heads on most figures are fine, but like little upgrade kits might be cool. Just, you know, like maybe the weapon they come with doesn't really look like their original weapon. It's like, hey, here's a little set. The guns, here's a little gun set. Like those Gears of War sets that came out a couple of times. Where you got like a bunch of guns and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like stuff like that's kind of neat. But I don't think necessarily we have to see like a bunch of new heads all the time.
Yeah, I think if they're really inspired and based off of something like, you know, his example was IDW Perceptor. Like, I think in that, like, stuff like that is great, yeah. But as long as it's based on something that we know we're never going to get, like the cup. The cup was based on IDW, like, mm-hmm. Chomping on the Saigar. That was all IDW stuff, so that was a cool bit that we would have never seen otherwise. I didn't mind the face. If I would have gotten it, it would have been just to have the Saigar, but... But yeah, I mean, I like that. I like that kind of stuff. It's cool, but I want it made for a figure that I like, or at least fix a problem that I have with the figure to make me like it more. But an upgrade set for that Perceptor is not going to solve the issue that I have with it.
Yeah, it's a bummer that you had that issue with Perceptor, because in my case with I have a Perceptor that totally worked out fine. If this upgrade set was sold for like, you know, the similar sub $20 price and had a gun and a new head, I would be tempted by it because, I, you know, my Perceptor toy works okay. And I wouldn't dislike the idea. I don't think I'd clamor for it, but if I did see it come out, I certainly would probably say, hey, that's a cool idea. This style of upgrade for sure. I think this is a great, it's a great sort of upgrade thing to go for because it can be done for one thing. It can be done at a low price point. And that, I mean, that certainly shouldn't be the crux of whether or not any upgrade set should ever be done. But if you can pull off a really cool, and really, you know, effective upgrade set like the Cupheads, for such a low price, then you're definitely going to get more interest from a lot of people. Because, you know, a lot of Transformers collectors still look at third-party stuff through a mainline looking glass. So there's a lot of people who just don't buy third-party stuff because, due to the logistics of third-party, a lot of it is like $50, $60 deluxes. And a lot of people, you know, in their minds, they don't want to know the details. All they see is it's $50 and it looks as big as a $15 toy. So if you can do upgrade sets that are lower price point, you know, definitely give it a try. Just don't crazy devy it and do like 50 upgrade sets for the same figure and sell them all for under $20, because then you're actually selling a big upgrade set for a lot of money. And then don't make it wreck the toy either, please. Anyway, Thank you for the listener question, Chilliwackamus Prime. We also have a listener question from Searchman DS, who sent it in 2 days later on the 17th of August of this year. He says, greetings, what at podcasters, Searchman here with another trio of listener questions. One, do you feel that Thundercracker, Skywarp, and the Coneheads suffer from the tradition of being Starscream repaints and remolds? Do you feel they should break away from this pattern and become their own characters in design? Gog, how do you feel about this? Do you think that the Seekers could ever do with being original toys?
I mean, they've done that before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of the movie figures have been unique designs. They did that in Cybertron. You had Starscream, who was based off of his... vaguely based off of his War Within design. And then you had Thundercracker, who was a completely different mold of an Earthjet. And then Skywarp being a repaint of him. I don't mind if they're different once in a while, but, you know, for all my problems, or for all anybody's problems, really, with repaints in general, and them just being kind of a reality of the business side of Transformers as a brand, in my mind, the one time that repaints always work is with the Seekers, and it's, you know, you don't have to do that every time. You can switch it up, but myself, I don't mind them at all. I think it's cool to have... at least in the case of the original three, Starscream, Skywarp, Thundercracker, having three identical Transformers with three very different personalities and motivations, like in the IDW comics have done a really good job of playing that up, of Thundercracker, because like an aspect of Thundercracker's personality that's never been played into in modern times that much, at least not that I can think of offhand, was kind of his... kind of his quiet questioning of Decepticons, but him never really doing anything about it because he's a fully vested Decepticon and all that. And IDW has been exploring that kind of little bit of Thundercracker's personality in a cool way. And I think it's cool when you have those three guys that look exactly the same and but they can still make them into unique characters on their own. So, I don't know, it's just one of those things. It's like, they were the original repaints, and in that way, like, me personally, I have no problem with that at all, and I think I actually kind of prefer it. Like, I see a cool Starscream toy, and I'm like, oh man, can't wait to see that in Skywarp colors. So, like, I don't care either way. I actually prefer it when they're repaints, but if every... few generations or so, if they want to switch it up and make them unique molds, I don't mind that either.
All right, and Seth, how do you feel about the Seekers and their repaint remold destiny?
I prefer them all being the same. I don't really like it when they don't match in a line, because I mean, not just because they're the original repaints, but because they're the Seekers. They're their own little gang in that way. So they look cool together, all with the same silhouette and their different color schemes. Like with Armada, when they got around to doing Skywarp, who was he a Walmart exclusive?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and they remolded a lot of them. Like, he had a totally different kind of shaped head. And a couple other details were remolded. He stood out like a sore thumb staying next to the other two. And it just didn't look right. I like those three matching. Now, what I wouldn't mind is if they wanted to do a different head sculpt for each one. So maybe even if they just all had different facial expressions, like, that could be cool. Or maybe customize their weapons a little bit. Like, give them different arm guns,
mm-hmm.
like variations on the theme sort of a thing might be interesting. Yeah.
But they did that a little bit with the Masterpiece, too, giving them different faces.
That's true, yeah.
So that's cool, but I prefer them to have the same silhouette.
All right, yeah. I like it when they all look like they're related, but if they were ever to do the three Seekers, maybe even the three Seekers and the three Coneheads, is like... three or six completely different molds that have very similar robot modes with a lot of unique detail, I'd actually be okay with that. Because I get Seeker fatigue sometimes, especially when I picked up the non-BotCon versions of some of the previously BotCon-only Seekers, and I put them on the shelf, and I was like, how many times have I transformed this toy? Which, admittedly, is also a little bit of mold, not degradation, mold fatigue, not so much as concept fatigue. But, I don't know, I mean, I like characters a lot, so I'm always, I like it if the toy can get across their individual personalities, and I do feel sometimes that when they are straight repaints of Starscream, it's more difficult to get across their individual personalities without you having to look at a tech spec and then go and start digging up stuff yourself. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it'd be cool to see it happen either way. I would not be upset if they started to try doing, you know, an experiment by doing the Seekers as non repaints. So I'd kind of like to see that. Yeah. Moving on to question number two.
I don't think they would, though.
Oh, no, like, probably not. I don't think
they would do, because they're the easy repaint that is often demanded.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, people just don't expect it. They ask, when is it going to happen?
Yeah,
that's a freebie. That's two repaint freebies for Hasbro. Like, all the other repaints, they kind of got to, like, find a way to sell you on it. And they even started doing new head, like planning second head sculpts to help sell the repaint. And they don't even have to do that with the Seekers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's any way they're going to like do any big variations between them.
Yeah, but going back to what Chris was saying though about slightly different, like. Take like the Battle Chargers, like that would be cool. Like they still have the same transformation, just maybe slightly unique molds, except for those days are long dead. Like even figures that were slightly different, like the Battle Chargers or
Bumblebee,
Cliffjumper and Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Like those days, like they are straight repaints, even sometimes having the same head now and before. Yeah, they had similar alt modes, but they still were unique. But that would actually be kind of cool if they did do something like that and switch it up where, yeah, they still kind of have the same transformation and everything, but make each mold slightly unique, even to where they even have the same silhouette.
Yeah, like
that's more of like fantasy stuff, because even characters that are canon like that from back in the day are getting the same slight retool treatment now.
Yeah, I should you know, clarify, just in case, you know, anyone's thinking like, no, I don't think this is remotely possibly going to happen anytime soon, because yes, the Seekers, not only are they classic, not only is their repaint factor kind of tradition and nostalgic, but because of all that, it also means they're very easy to slot in to repaint slots to get the most out of the steel molds. So I don't think that the tradition's going to end anytime soon, but it would be neat if it did once or twice, I think.
You know, I'm surprised we don't see Ironhide Ratchet straight repaints more often.
They don't make enough Ironhide toys. Or no, actually, sorry. You know what it is? They do make enough Ironhide toys. It's because in the movie, Ironhide and Ratchet became two distinct characters. And it feels like the nostalgia factor of them being similar has been kind of nullified by the major media. Whereas...
Yeah, I'm just looking across the room where I have a bunch of Transformers on display, and I'm like, straight ahead, there's my classic Starscream with the cape and crown and better arm guns. And then a little bit over, I have my G1 Ironhide and Ratchets with that arm and head upgrade kit thing on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, yeah, you know, if they were to do... And they did do that with the classic Ironhide and Ratchet. They were the same mold.
Yeah.
But like all they have to do for a head variation, should they do an updated classics version or whatnot, is just have like the little crest piece on Ratchet be detachable, like either glue it on or don't, and that's really all the head variation you need to get away with.
Mm-hmm. Not totally.
I like those two.
I think it's something they could return to. I just think that part of the reason why that particular repaint scheme has fallen to the side is because between, like, the movie established them both as being very different looking, and the last couple cartoons have kind of established Ratchet as being a lot more mainline than Ironhide. So I think it's just their identities have shifted so much, whereas the Seekers and Coneheads, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, they are always sort of being kept together, like more so than almost any other repaint scheme.
I'm almost kind of surprised Hasbro let that happen, kind of thinking about it now in that way. It's almost weird that they would let the movie establish Ratchet and Ironhide as looking different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like, but you're taking away one of our easy repaint options. You have to make one of them something else.
I think maybe part of it might be that, and this is just like real kind of shooting stuff at the wall, but part of it might be that they spent so long in the movie, you know, with the idea of there being a Red Alert character. That they're like, we kind of have gone all in on having a medic, and if it's not going to be this, you know, this red thing, we've got to do something. What about Ratchet? And then, because Ratchet wasn't originally in the lineup, right? Like, it was originally going to be Red Alert, if I remember right.
Well, and Ironhide wasn't originally in the lineup either. It was going to be RC.
Yeah, so I think maybe some kind of necessity thing happened, and then, you know, once you've...
Yeah, but, I mean, with turning Ironhide into a truck, I mean, that could have been Brawn, easily. Mm-hmm. They could have done all three movies calling that character Brawn. I would have bought it.
Yeah.
I almost think that characterization maybe was closer to Brawn.
Yeah. I wouldn't disagree. I mean,
they should have called him Brawn.
But then he wouldn't have had the cowboy head. The literal cowboy head. Brawn's on a cowboy, not like Ironhide.
Yeah, only it turns Ironhide.
Ironhide's totally a cowboy.
Brawn could be a cowboy. Saying Brawn can't be a cowboy?
Yeah, because
what are you trying to say?
If you're going to start talking
some mess,
yeah. If you're going to talk in cowboy talk, what sounds more cowboy? Brawn or like Ironhide?
I don't know. Brawn sounds.
Kind of I was going to say you just made a pretty good argument for Brawn there.
Maybe I'm just attached to Arnhard. I don't know. Anyway, let's go on to the second question. I'm leaving this one behind. Question number two. I know the subject of what was your first Transformer has been brought up a few times while I've been listening to this podcast. That being said, I have a twist on the usual line of discussion. What was your first Transformer from each line of Transformers? Dude, this is a harder question than... I don't remember. I remember a couple of them, but holy crap.
I have no idea.
Okay. Seth, do you have any idea on any of these?
Okay, let's run through.
I mean, like, recent memory is easy, but...
G1, I got Skywarp and Thundercracker on the same day. That was my first G1. I wasn't around for G2. I didn't get any Machine Wars until much later. I didn't get any Beast Wars until much later. Let's see, my first Beast Machine might have been the drone of Cyclonus, the motorcycle drone. I think that might have been my first Beast Machine. My first Armada... I got a bunch at the same time. I know I got Cyclonus, Hotshot, and was it Devastator?
Demolisher.
Kind of got Demolisher. I know I got those three at the same time. I don't remember if I got it. Oh, and Perceptor, the three pack. I know I got those all at the same time. There might have been more. I don't remember. I can't remember the first Cybertron figure I got. I can't remember what the first Energon figure was I got. Then what's next? Animated?
Yeah, no,
we're having trouble even remembering what the lines are.
2006 classics, first classics.
First classic, I don't know. What was the first wave? Bumblebee?
Bumblebee, Starscream, Astro Train. I think one more.
There was four.
Yeah. Bumblebee, Starscream, Astro Train, Hot Rod. That's who it was.
Yeah.
Because I got, I remember I, the, my first classics, I got a shipping case of all four from Super Megatron back in the day.
I didn't get them. I didn't get them all at the same time. I know I didn't get Astro Train until later. I might have gotten Starscream and Bumblebee at the same time. Let's see, then animated. I can't remember what I got first from animated.
So I throw out there. This is a dick of a question. This is just gonna lay it down for a sec here.
First alternator, smokescreen.
Well,
that's an easy one. That one's easy.
No way.
totally. Alternity, first alternity. Optimus Prime.
Convoy. What was your first? What was your first movie toy? First movie toy.
Man, I remember going to Kmart that first day they were available. Can't remember what the which ones I got first though. I'm pretty sure I got Blackout. I don't remember though. I couldn't say.
This is a nutty question.
I know I likely got more than one though.
Yeah.
Yeah. This question's hard.
Gog, have you got any answers for this question yet?
My first alternator was Shockwave, Shock Blast. My first victory toy was Star Saber. And my first fans project Insecticon was Thundershred.
First fans project Insecticon. I'm going to have a go at this. Okay, first G1 toy was Rekgar. My first Beast Wars toy, I believe, was Rat Trap and Iguanus. My first Armada toy was... I bought all the Minicon sets, the Perceptor, Star Saber, and the other one that was out at the time. Some Decepticon one. Energon. My first Energon toys were Ravage, the one with the axe, the little Jeep guy, Strongarm. And the jet little guy with the trident. First Cybertron toy was the like 15 Wave 1 Galaxy Force toys I bought at the same time. First Classics, I said, was the first wave of four at the same time. First movie toy was a stolen Chinese Voyager Ironhide. A first animated toy was a stolen Chinese Starscream and stolen Chinese Bulkhead. What came after that? My first Revenge of the Fallen toy was stolen in Chinese. It was either Sideswipe or Sideways, because I got both of them. I remember me and Gog ordered them at the same time. So that's what I recall. I think it was one of them. And what was that? Says Revenge of the Fallen. Did animated. My first... What was? I think everyone calls
R.I.D.
it. Yeah, yeah.
We skipped R.I.D.
My first R.I.D. toys was all the first wave Car Robots toys at the same time.
I got the repaint, like the second color scheme of the three Autobot brothers imported from Japan before R.I.D. came out.
Oh.
I think my first R.I.D. figure. Like domestic North America release was Megatron.
Oh my! Like domestic R.I.D. I remember was Optimus Prime and Ultra Magnus because I flipped out that I saw them on a shelf in Toys R Us. Where was I? You know, the one everyone calls Classics 2.0, and I hate it when they do that. Generation. No, not Generations. Universe. Yeah, Universe. The first Universe toy was something, I think probably the whole Wave 1. I can't remember who was in Wave 1. Oh, I remember. It was Prowl, Sunstreaker, and not Octane. Tankor. I got them all at the same time.
That's the only one I didn't get. I never got Tankor.
You didn't? Well, he wasn't. He was weird. My first Generations toy was, I got all of Wave 1, so it was the whole Wave 1. But now we're entering into the part where I just started buying the entire first waves at once. My first Dark of the Moon toys were a bunch of Wave 1 as well. My first Transformers Prime toy was Starscream, but it wasn't mine. So my first Transformers Prime toy I owned was San Diego Comic-Con Prime. So, boom. And that's that. That was a mean question. Asked by mean people.
You're a bad person.
Just to throw it out there. Here's one more question after this. Question number 3. Would you like to see some of the placeholder trademark names, such as Treadshot and Skyhammer, eventually get their time to shine in Transformers fiction? Absolutely. I would love to see new characters with names that are not famous do cool stuff. How do you guys feel?
Feel the same way. We've talked about that before of how I think, I know I feel that way, of how refreshing it would be just to get some new characters. Like, that's one thing that Beast Wars did really well, is just wipe the slate clean. Yeah, there was some name reusage, but a lot of that was original, completely original names, and even some of the names that were never really used, like as pertains to his question, were given a shot and made famous. And so, yeah, absolutely. I'm tired of seeing Prime and Megatron and all those unique. I mean, those are great characters to me, but we don't have to continue to use the same ones over and over and over and over and over. And I understand why they do it. It sells. People dig it. But yeah, absolutely. I would love to see even completely unique names. But by this point, with all the back burner names that they have, it would be probably kind of easier just to sift through the ones, like with the Bulkhead, you know? Bulkhead, yeah. Bulkhead, animated Bulkhead was not the first use of the name Bulkhead, but he's all you think about, and of course Prime, but they're very similar. But yeah, absolutely.
And Seth, would you like to see some back burner characters show up, or must all your Transformers always be cut from the same cloth?
I'm going to start an internet petition to make sure these back burner placeholder nobodies never get a chance. Forget them. They're third rate, bottom tier small timers. That's all they are.
I don't want to forget that. I
hate them.
They're not small timers. They don't listen to the MP3 version. I'm not going to start that. I will fight your campaign of terror.
That, you know what? That would be like, okay, at the Oscars, when people get up to go to the bathroom, like the celebrities, the stars, the winners get up to go to the bathroom, nobodies fill the seats. That would be like giving one of those no name, no talent, nothings an Oscar for best seat filler to give one of these placeholder garbage characters even one word bubble of dialogue in a spin-off comic where it gets destroyed. Like, even if one of those damn old space tentacles came down and crushed it, that's too much print time for one of these awful, awful characters.
So speaks Seth Buzzard. All right. I think that answered that question. We've got some contention here for sure. Please post in the thread if you have any thoughts on our responses. Searchman DS goes on to say, thanks for taking the time to answer these questions, and I look forward to hearing your responses. You just did. We're going to take a quick intermission now, and then we're going to be back with some incredibly powerful What We Got This Week, during which something shocking might be revealed. It'll be a shock to you and a shock to the rest of us.
I'm going to give you the shocker. Bzzz.
Shock the Monkey.
You are shocked.
It's the opening to Fist of the North Star. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back from our long, expressive, and stealthy bathroom break to bring you some What We Got This Week. Let me just open up by completely enraging part of the listener base and just mentioning that I have no new Transformers this week because I can't find any. So go find me some, and I'll talk about the new Transformers I have this week. Next week, look forward to me talking about Transformers I find at New York Comic Con. That aside, find me some.
You're doing a great job of disappointing me.
Yeah, well, you stood me up that one time when I was going to take you out. Because Shodan was a million times sexier than you were. I think
that one was about to say, I love you. They are sentient, of course.
Yeah,
we have a lot of them.
Goodness, don't have to anymore. Jerk. Anyway, that's all the Transformers I got this week. I want to do this. Seth, do you have any Transformers this week?
Sort of.
Oh, no.
Sort of. I mean, barely. Kinda. So, if you frequent the website WTF2, or don't, no.
We haven't done that yet.
Yeah. Don't tell Tony.
Oh man.
If you go to TFW2005.com and you look at the front page news, you might have seen the earth-shattering news that they were packing in little Autobot and Decepticon cars with packs of batteries.
Oh man.
I got a pack of batteries. With a little car. So I got the little Decepticon car.
Aww.
They're cheap little cars. They might look like a Hot Wheel Matchbox kind of a thing, and they're roughly that size. But man, they ain't no Matchbox or Hot Wheel car. They just feel like thin, hollow plastic. The wheels technically rotate. But the window is just sculpted detail, and the stickers are just chintzy stickers.
Those little jerks.
That's your little cruddy comes with batteries car review. That's what I got this week.
All right, we're two for two for some.
Did I win? Did I win?
Not quite yet.
Did I win?
We're two for two for heavy Transformers content this week.
Am I winning?
No, you got more than I did. So, you are. Actually, you beat me at Transformers.
So far, I'm winning.
Yes. So far. But all might come crashing down. GOG, did you get any Transformers this week?
I did. I got a few.
Damn.
I win.
Damn it.
I win. I got G1, Chrome Dome, and Six Shot.
Oh!
Except for, well, they're on the cover of my Ted Masters DVD that I got from Amazon.
Oh. That's still Transformers, because that's a cartoon that Transformers were in.
Yeah, so I actually ordered this months ago. I had combined it with Yotsuba Manga Volume 10.
Oh, whoa.
Their release was about 4 months apart, and I was hoping that, you know, Amazon would just ship me the Headmasters DVD separately. They didn't. They sat on it for 4 months.
Good,
I finally got it this week. I haven't watched it yet, but... So, yeah, I got that. Can't comment on it because I haven't watched it yet, but yeah, we'll get to it. I did get some proper Transformers. Well, not officially, but I did get the last two Fans Project, Insecticons, Causality.
Oh, that's not official. Crossfire,
all that. It's fine.
You're going to find out.
It's okay.
But they're going to find out.
Okay, got Storm Bomb. Got Backfiery, which is strange name. We'll do them in order. Stormbomb. Stormbomb is really cool. Out of the three Insecticons, he easily has the simplest transformation. It's actually really simple compared to Backfiery, which we'll get into in a minute. But I like Stormbomb. I think he has a great silhouette. He's very similar to Thundershred in that regard. Very stocky, has thick legs. Love his head mold. I love his head mold to death. Just like with, like I said, with Thundershred, it's got this really G1-esque style head, but in kind of a its own little Neo aesthetic. And I think it works great. My only problem... Not a problem. His hips are quite a bit looser than Thundershred's. Thundershred's hips were super tight, super tight. Stormbomb's are way looser. They're more than adequate. They're fine. I'd say they're probably about normal tightness for hips on a toy. Definitely a difference between Thundershred and Stormbomb in that regard. My only real complaint about Stormbomb is his little hooks that go on his shoulders and also become his front legs in bug mode fall out really easily out of the holders, and I kind of wish that they would have either gone with the 3mm clips for those, since they use those 3mm clips on so much other parts on all the toys. I think that would have secured them better and just put like a little ring where it could have clipped onto. Other than that, I'm really satisfied with Stormbomb. He's a really solid little figure. One thing that he has that the other Insecticons don't, well, Thundershred has a swivel waist. Backfiery doesn't have any waist, but Stormbomb actually has a ball jointed waist, so you can give him a little bit of an ab crunch.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and it's neat. I think all the Insecticons could have benefited from that because and you can actually kind of pull it apart. It separates by about 3mm, and you can get quite a bit of movement. Actually looking like he's straight up bowing to some degree. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I kind of wish that all of them had that joint now, and you can push it together so that it's so tight, it basically in effect becomes just a waist swivel. So, but you can separate it and you get quite a bit of movement. So it's kind of sad that the other Insecticons didn't have that, I got to say, because I think it works to great effect on Stormbomb. His chain kind of stinks it. You know, he doesn't have like a chest compartment you can open up and put in there, but whatever. I don't care. It's still cool. I wish it was a little shorter, honestly, because even when his arms are splayed together as far apart as they could possibly get, the chain is dangling on the ground at their feet. So you can do some cool effects of wrapping it like around their arms so it looks like it's all wrapped around crazy.
Yeah.
And that's probably what I'm going to do when I even use the chain, but... I approve of Stormbomb. Then we have Backfiery. Backfiery's transformation is insane.
I saw you tweet about that.
Yeah, it is insane, and I love it. It is so complex. it like you have Stormbomb, who basically his legs rotate out 90 degrees, push up his and click in, basically forming his entire body. His like the bug head with the horn, the beetle horn, folds up, and then his arms fold back and peg on his back, and that's about it. The shoulders rotate around a little bit. He's really simple. Backfiery. I think every single part on this toy moves in some way, other than his little torso, which is basically just a solid hunk. But it is incredible how this what they did with this thing. I think his arms basically fold down between his legs. They fold up all crazy. His shoulder pads rotate around, and it basically forms the abdomen of the insect. So they completely go from one side of the figure to the next, and then the legs kind of bend up and form the insect legs. But it's, oh, I don't know. It's, I'm really taken with this guy. I think he's really cool. He's pretty unique too, because while the other guys have this big kind of thick stocky look silhouette to him, Backfiery is pretty unique. He's very slender and looks much more agile, which, considering his insect mode, I think is pretty fitting.
Yeah.
I think maybe about my only complaint with Backfiery is I really wish his wings had been translucent, because that would have added a really cool insect effect.
That would have put him like over the top, kind of like, this is just totally working.
Yeah. Instead of it just being, you know, kind of giant slivers of gray plastic. And I mean, it's not bad. They look fine. And I like his wings. They're on ball joints. They're pretty cool. But I think if they were translucent, it really would have put it over the top and put it into, because he doesn't have as much purple on him as the other. So having like purple translucent wings would have been
great. Oh, that would have been awesome.
His kunai, when I was looking at preview pictures, I was like, well, you know, Thundershred has the big pinwheel. He's got the huge Wolverine claws. Stormbomb has the big rhinoceros beetle horn thing that can, split apart and become two handheld weapons. And he's got the two sickles and then the chain, and then little Backfire. He only has the little blades that it sticks on his legs, but it's, in the end, I think it's really fitting. And just the sheer craziness of how this little dude transforms, I think it more than makes up for it. And as I had posted that picture on Flickr with what's his name?
Oh, you mean the big blue Caramus?
The big blue ball of disappointment. I can more than amuse myself with the kunai.
Lil 2%.
Yeah. but no, yeah, I don't know which one my favorite is. I'd say Stormbomb would, well, I'd say I love Thundershred's aesthetic with those huge claws. There's just something about that of his whole visual that just really, I really love it. From a engineering standpoint, I'm super, super impressed with Backfiery. And I say if you had to get any one of the Insecticons, you probably get more value in that. Some people might think he's a little too complex, but I think after doing it a few times, it's not that big of a deal. You just gotta be aware of how the arm parts line up. But once you see the pattern that they make when you plug everything together, I think it's not that big of a deal. But I'm really taken with Backfiery. I think from a third party transforming product like this, they've really shown their stuff with him. And, I think everybody should at least get him just to see what Fans Project is capable of doing. Stormbomb is kind of in the middle. I think he does well. And I think he looks great. He doesn't do anything necessarily that blows me away, other than he's the third Insecticon and he's looks really awesome. Probably, but on the other hand, Stormbomb probably has my favorite head sculpt out of all of them. And probably has the coolest weapons, I'd say. I mean, I'm pretty partial to Thundershred. Like I said, I just love the claws on the arms, but Stormbomb's weapons are pretty awesome too. And he I don't know. So, but as a set, these are probably my favorite third-party product that's ever been released. I don't know, they're I can't find any reason to say that I would not own them. They're one of the figures that, you know, we all have figures that we buy out of curiosity. It's like, okay, that's cool. And say something bad happens and they get stolen or broken or something. These three figures are probably three that I would replace without hesitation immediately because they're that cool.
Oh, awesome.
But yeah, so yeah, they're great. I look forward to seeing what Fans Project does after this because I think they've really upped their game in my opinion, especially compared to the last few, like the Crossfire set of what was it, like Flame Blast and Warcry?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I think those were cool. I messed with Andy Cobra Commander TFWs at BotCon when he bought them, but these basically the same price, and I think the bang for the buck you get for these overshadow those other guys pretty tremendously, and just in my personal opinion, so that's a good sign, I think, of what's to come from these guys. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they're working on next as far as what's actually coming out. I'm not sure. I know they've shown a bunch of stuff. They've been showing stuff for years that still hasn't come out yet, so as far as what does anybody know if they have anything announced that's definitely the next thing that's coming to retail?
I don't think that Fans Project themselves have had any new announcements on their website except for the Heartmaster thing. That's the last new thing they've been showing on Core. Oh, yeah, Core.
The Heartmaster. I forgot about that.
They've been showing that on Core for a while, so.
Yeah.
That's a maybe.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But that's it for On Topic.
All right. Well, my apologies, ladies and gentlemen, but it's time for us to betray your fandom with some off-topic, what we got this week. I got some off-topic stuff. And since I had less than Seth, I'm going to go first. Okay, first off-topic thing would be something I just put a review up for. It was my super imaginative Chogokin Cyclone Joker. Super imaginative Chogokin is a line that I've had a history with, because back in the day, about 5 years ago, they'd been around for a while, and their toys would always come out, their toys would look awesome, and then they would suck when I actually got them, at least for what I wanted out of them. They're very fragile, they were kind of like, they were like statues that you could tweak. And then if you tried to do anything outside of the realm of what they could do, or sometimes if you just looked at them funny, they might break. Nowadays, they are way better.
And are they made by McFarlane?
No, they weren't made by McFarlane. McFarlane toys still break. These ones don't, at least in my experience. They've taken that aesthetic, that very stylized aesthetic, and then a couple years back, they added in actual solid engineering of joints to them. So that Cyclone Joker is an example of a figure you can actually pose and mess with that also looks very stylized. And he also, his color combination of metallic green and flat black with two red eyes somehow made my camera's autofocus go insane. Like, I don't know what it was about that color combination. My camera could not focus on him unless I zoomed in to, like, a medium shot. It was kind of nuts. I also got, just today, actually, I got my little package from CS Toys I've been waiting for. Because I got their one and only Figure Arts Wild Tiger from Tiger and Bunny. I don't know if either of you guys have been seeing that show, but Tiger and Bunny is a pretty cool anime, which has some real Western sensibilities about it. So when Bandai was going to do figures of it, they didn't really know if the show was going to be popular, so they didn't make very many. And then the show kind of took off as being one of the biggest anime hits of the last year, and thus the toys sold out really hardcore. There's a re-release of Wild Tiger coming out this month, but I managed to sneak in and grab the one that CS Toys had, and it's a very cool figure. He's a superhero who has all these sponsorship ads all over his suit, and one of the sponsorship ads is SH Figure Arts, so there's some crazy meta stuff going on in there. I also got a little model kit in there of Mini Plaz. Goes with the Gokaio I have. I got a little Samurai Man who can combine with them. I also got some Glioses this week. On the October Forums forum, someone named Zad Zach Zadlin, back at the end of September, put up a thread saying that he, or she, I'm not sure, was cashing out of Glios because
this person's collecting sensibilities, just couldn't keep up with Glios, and Glios is a line you cannot go completist on, and this person was kind of like, I just know I'm not going to own enough Glios to be satisfied, so I'm going to cash out. So I kind of got in on that cash out sale and snagged a pile of them. The main things that I really liked out of what I snagged were, there's a whole bunch of stuff I got that was translucent, colorful plastic, which was nice because a lot of my Glios collecting has happened for a bunch of waves that were primarily either complete monotone colors or were very subdued colors. And now I have bright blue and bright orange translucent plastic, which I just linked in the Skype chat. And it's real fun to look at. It looks super retro and super candy-like. I also got a normal rig and a bunch of other things in there. It was a cool little box to get. And I'm pretty sure Zedzak Zadlin threw in a couple of extra little bits and pieces, which I really appreciate. And also, I got a Glios from Piaw. Piaw sent me a belated birthday present. And this was a Glios that he put together and customized and painted. And he attached a little card inside that said, "Happy belated birthday, you wallet-raping son of a bi." And then there was some other letter that kind of got cut off on the paper. I'm not sure what it meant, but I'm not sure how Piaw discovered that I am a son of a bi, but I guess that's just how Piaw is going to roll. But he took this little Glios and he kind of customized it to look like a Bugman. So I now have a Bugman Glios. I have crossed borders and gone places no man should go before. But he also quoted today when I posted a picture of it that he's cursing my high resolution picture because it shows the mistakes he made in the paint job. But I think that just adds character to it. He also drew a little art card to go with it in felt markers, and I thought that was neat. And the last thing I got was something that has a bit of a story behind it. Do either of you guys know The Max by Sam Keith with two X's?
Yeah,
yep.
I have a somewhere, I don't know where it is, but I had the glow-in-the-dark dealer incentive cover for the Max number one.
Oh, wow. I always liked the Max ever since I was, it feels weird to say, ever since I was kind of young, because my brother was really into the Max, and we watched the Liquid Television, no, it wasn't Liquid Television, it was MTV's Oddities. Was what the Max was on. And we used to watch that on VHS. We got the VHS of it way back in the day, and Much Music used to show some of that stuff in Canada. Anyway, I got an email from someone who watched some stuff I did. Her name is Selena. She's working on her own video series. I think the account name she uses is Selena the Cynic. And her first review was going to be of the Max franchise. And unfortunately, well, I was having some email correspondence with her because she basically said, "I'm using this Max figure and I'd like to send it to you afterwards because I have nowhere to put it here. And I know you like toys and would you like a Max?" So I was like, "Sure, thank you very much." And unfortunately, I heard from her that her video she was putting together, she's kind of had to start again from the ground up because she had a major computer crash and lost all of her footage. But at the same time, she was also kind of like rethinking, like, do I want to do the video this way? So it was kind of like a serendipitous crash almost. But the package arrived the other day, and what it had in it was the two-disc DVD set of the Max cartoon, which I had no idea actually contains episode commentaries, as well as a boarded and bagged copy of the Max issue number one, which is not glow-in-the-dark. So Seth does win there. And this is the big one. It also had Shocker Toys Indie Comic Heroes Max. So I am currently holding in my hand an action figure that was made by Shocker Toys and actually exists in real life. Now I hear this is kind of rare, so I kind of flipped out. And I didn't know it was this big either. So guys, Shocker Toys actually made toys.
You might want to watch out. The Repo Man might visit you in your sleep and repossess the toy.
Listen.
On behalf of the license holders.
Yeah. Shocker Toys is a funny company, which we've joked about before. And the first thing I thought when I pulled the toy out was, this is bigger than I expected. The second thing I thought was, if this toy was assembled slightly better, this would actually be a really good figure. Which, talking to people who have interacted with Shocker Toys' somewhat discussable public speakers, they said that, yeah, the bummer about Shocker Toys is that they have very good ideas. They actually have decent engineering. It's just that they constantly do things that make them look really bad, and lead to people like me making jokes about them. But I got to give them full credit. This Max figure is really well done. The only problem is it's almost entirely ball joints, and some of the ball joints in the arms really need tightening. They need some floor polish treatment because they do droop pretty hardcore. But that aside, he's got, like, the ball joints on this figure are really well designed. Like, this stuff actually rivals Nika's ability to install joints in figures in terms of it's a simple ball joint, but, like, the ball socket is so deep inside the figure and the sculpting is so precise that you get huge amounts of movement out of the ball joints on this guy. And I'm really impressed. He's got like a ball-jointed neck, ball-jointed biceps, swivel shoulders, ball-jointed elbows, ball-jointed wrists, ball-jointed ab crunch, ball-jointed everything, double-jointed legs, really huge ball joints on his ankles. This is a figure who is articulated well enough and has big enough shoes that he can stand on one leg. So I'm actually quite impressed with the figure itself. It's got like an alternate head so you can have Max with his like awesome 90s mane when he's in the Outback. And it comes with three Izzes, a white Izz, a black Izz, and a pink Izz. And I am really impressed with this figure, actually. If you are into the Max and you can actually find this figure, this is the best toy of the Max I've ever seen done. So that's really cool. I think it's great. It's just a bummer that, as far as I know, it can be tricky to get a hold of anything that Shocker Toys makes. Although maybe nowadays, since it's 2011, they've actually made the toys that were supposed to come out in 2009. I'm not sure, but it's great. I am really impressed. If you can get this thing for like, I think it retailed for 25. If you can find it for like 25 to 30, and you like the Max, this is entirely worth your time. Which. Feels yeah, weird to say.
That animated series, like one of the things that I thought was really cool was each episode is an issue of the comic. Mm-hmm. Like they're straight up translations. The only thing I remember being disappointed with the show was there was one issue of the Max that had the Pit, who was another Image character.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't remember if it was the same issue or another issue. I think the character was named Mako. He was like a shark-headed dude.
That's the
who, if I remember correctly, was from Savage Dragon.
Yeah, that's an episode that okay. When they released the Max on VHS with no explanation, the episode with Mako was cut from the VHS version of the Max.
Well, if I remember right, in that episode of the series, they just changed him to like a hammerhead kind of shark.
Oh, the shark guy. I just assumed it was Mako.
Yeah, they just didn't. They like had a different name and they made it a different kind of a shark.
Yeah,
but the issue that had the Pit, they just didn't have a character there at all. Like where Max and the Pit were like shrunken down and running around.
Oh yeah, it was just Max
by himself. I remember being disappointed with that, but then also understanding that Image it's all creator-owned.
Yeah.
And they didn't have deals with those guys. They had deals with Sam Keith.
Yeah, that whole episode with the shark guy, basically, I didn't even know that episode existed until I saw it in syndication years later, and I was like, what is this? And I was like, there's a new episode of The Max? And then I found out the whole story, and I was really confused. Because I had basically grown up watching the Max on the VHS copy that I had, that I bought at like a Blockbuster or something. But yeah, Shocker Toys Max. Whatever you think of Shocker Toys, I probably think it too. But this is a really good toy. I would be lying if I said that this toy sucked. It's really well done. It has a lot of problems with its joint tolerances, but design wise and like just playing with it at your desk, it's amazing that there's actually a fun playable Max toy. It's something I never thought I would see. Apparently they had a Mr. Gone that you had to buy all the toys for and mail away for. I don't know if that Mr. Gone even exists, if it ever actually happened. I didn't read up on any of this, but if I do see any more of the Shocker Toys Indie Heroes line that Max is from, like if I see Scud for a decent price, I might actually pick up Scud. Because I want to know if the Max is just the one that turned out well, or if this is really was a decent line that no one picked up because the guys making it started so much trouble across the internet with everybody. I'm really impressed. That's also all the off-topic I got to talk about this week. So, Seth, you said you were going to blow our minds.
Well, that was before I remembered I got that little plastic car.
Oh.
And then my whole mind-blowing thing was no toys at all this week.
Oh! So you've actually won at not getting anything.
Yeah.
Despite getting
something. I would have set a high bar and the world record if I didn't even get that little car. And I only have that because I needed batteries. If I didn't need batteries, I never would have gotten that. So it's not like I was like, oh my God, I gotta get that car.
Well, that's like the week where
too bad I have to have all these useless batteries.
I had to run home after filming at Cherry Bomb Toys and I needed bus fare and I couldn't get to, it was quicker for me to go buy a G.I. Joe from a comic shop to get change. And then that was what I got that week. That was a couple weeks ago.
Well, something I forgot to mention about that little car in the on-topic part. So this is like a bonus extra for the people who are sticking with the show and haven't punched out yet.
Oh.
I tweeted a picture of it that night, and Proto Man went bananas. Like, I get all these replies from, like, what is that? I don't know what that is. It was like something that he didn't know what it was, and he couldn't handle it. I'm like, it came with batteries. So he's like, well, what is it? What is it? I'm like, it's a cruddy little car. And, yeah. So anyway, that's it. That's your bonus.
That's the story as if Proto Man went nuts.
That's your bonus on topic talk. All
right.
But I did get some stuff. Not toys, but you know, they're electronic goods. The touchpad that I ordered finally showed up.
Oh.
The markdown from $600 to $150 touchpad. And then I also ordered up accessories. I got the case, which is like, you know how the iPad 2 has that case that's just the screen cover? And it's like segmented so you can fold it up and make a little stand?
Yeah.
It's like that, except for it wraps all the way around. And doesn't have magnets, but it folds up and makes a little stand. So that's cool. And it protects the screen, which is always useful. And then I got the Touchstone, which is a little base that holds it up. So you could, you know, set it up and have it kind of sitting upright if you want to just watch a video and not have to hold it. But it uses that like a conductive power transfer. So you just set the touchpad on the base and it recharges. You don't have to plug it in, which is cool. And the prices of those things were cut way back because all the stores stocking that stuff are like, get out of here. We're never going to sell this stuff. Get out of here. So I got all the touchpad stuff pretty cheap.
Ooh.
But, you know, it's not a bad little doodad. Kind of enjoying it. And it's weird to play Angry Birds on it and then look at Angry Birds on my iPhone and go, everything's so small. I cannot see. Everything is so small. There's some apps that I wish was on it that aren't, like Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Netflix rolls, you'd think they'd be everywhere all the time, no matter what. But they're not on here. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Is that all it is?
What else cool. There's a little Easter egg. Okay, so the way you close apps on it is you hit the guide button, and that brings you out to like the desktop, end quote, and all your running apps are in separate little windows.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you close one is you put your finger on it and you like flick it up off the screen. And he said, "Yo, get out of here." And you flick it off the screen. If you hold the touchpad so that... Here, actually, let me do it. So that the guide button
is on the side. Let me see if I can...
Live demo.
Do this real quick. This is not planned. I'm totally freeballing it.
This looks awesome.
Oh, no. You're not going to have to see it.
I want to.
So instead of... Well, let me make sure I have it set up right. Yeah, okay, that's the right one. I'm going to plug this back in.
This is amazing.
Okay, here we go. Get ready for it. So if you hold the touch pad, so the guide button is on your left. So now you're holding it horizontally, not vertically. Instead of flicking the app up and off the screen, if you drag it down, I don't think I did it right.
I hear Angry Birds.
Maybe it's the other way. Oh, you heard it?
I heard Angry Birds. I heard we.
Okay. Yeah, so the stretching slingshot sound happens, and then the Angry Bird, wee! He is... HP cut some deal with Rovia, so they have that sound in, and Angry Birds is free on the touchpad.
Aww.
So that's a neat little deal. And I downloaded a comic reader. The only problem is it doesn't let you buy comics through it, so you can't go to like the DC or Marvel shops and buy your digital copy comics. You have to buy them separately and then transfer them over. But my friend has it, and he was showing me like he had Walking Dead on there, and the pages look great on the screen. They look really good.
Mm.
So I might start doing that.
Awesome.
But it's pretty cool.
Touchpad.
Yeah, and that, I guess Hewlett Packard is going to sell a few more. Like, but you're going to have to go to the website and sign up for an email notification, because they're not saying when they're going to go on sale. And the supply is going to be very limited, and it's going to be first come, first serve. And I had a hell of a time ordering this one. Like, I couldn't get through on my laptop or my desktop. Like, I was trying to get an order through on my desktop computer, my laptop, and on my iPhone. Somehow the iPhone order got through where the others failed. And I think it has to do with how long they're like trying to access a site before they give up and say connection failed.
Mm-hmm.
I think the iPhone tries longer.
Yeah, the timeout.
Yeah, because it's compensating for 3G. So even though it was on Wi-Fi, it's trying longer and getting through where like full-blown computers were failing. But you know, if you want to try to get one of these super cheap touchpads, there is another chance, but good luck. It's going to be tough.
Best of luck to all the touchpad hunters out there. All right. Well, that's your electronics for this week. Gog, how would you like to carry us out?
I got a few off-topic things. I'll try not to linger on them too long.
All right.
But I did get Super Robot Chogokin Galgaigar.
Okay, how do you like it?
And Key of Victory set, number one.
Good man.
And Overload Effect part.
Good man.
So I was actually surprised, because looking back in threads, it was well known, but I didn't know that it was separately boxed. So I was like, oh, okay, BBTS just tossed it in the box with it, so I guess all the retailers who got the quote unquote first release of the figures just got separate cases of effects parts to go with.
Oh, Galgaigar. Well, they shipped together. What happened is Bandai started doing that about, I want to say, almost a year ago. And mm-hmm. for the first couple months when Bandai put those products out, especially the American retailers, they didn't really realize what that stuff was. Yeah. And HLJ, I believe, was the one who got in some of the most trouble when they didn't pack in a pre-order first-run pack-in.
And they got a lot of emails. And I want to say Big Bad Toy Store might have done it too, but I can't remember. After that happened, they all realized what those things were. And they're like, okay, we can't just throw this stuff into our warehouse and sell it later. Like, it's meant to go with these things.
Yeah, well, if I got one due to BBTS not shipping them to other people in the beginning, then, well, I guess I'm kind of lucky. I don't know. But it's cool. It's a cool effect part, especially, you know, being a free little bonus. But Gagagor's, he's pretty beautiful. He's pretty great. His the chrome, the gold chrome on the drills on the knees, looks, it's a nice looking figure. I gotta admit,
I have a lot of love for that figure because I think I mentioned this back when I got it, but it's the first Gaugaigar since the Takara one that doesn't feel like it's gonna break when I mess with it. Like every Gaugaigar figure that has been done since Takara, especially the ones that transform, they always feel like, oh man, it's Gaugaigar, and I have to treat him like a model kit because he'll shatter if I play with him at all.
Yeah,
and I mean that one, it's got its own little faults here and there, but I can actually just take Gaugaigar and pose him. I'm so happy.
Yeah, so he's really cool. I got him 2 days ago. I've been super busy. I haven't really had as much time to spend with him as I would have liked, but I look forward to this weekend getting off work and being able to relax for a little bit and maybe just sticking him on my light box for an afternoon and just having a little bit of fun with it. But yeah, really, really impressive figure. It's just such a nice looking figure. And this is my first of Bandai's newer Super Robot Chogokin line, which is the smaller Gokins that don't actually transform, that are based off of generally larger robots that do. I think most of the stuff, well, I guess without, you know, not counting the Mazingers, but a lot of the robots that they've covered are robots that have already gotten previous transforming toys, like the Aquarion that's coming up, and
there's a couple, but a lot of them are transforming characters.
They're doing the Sentai Go Ranger.
Oh yeah, Go Catcher. Yeah.
No, the
pirate one, right?
No, the Delta Squad one.
Oh, yeah, Deca Ranger.
Deca Ranger. I called it Go Ranger. Yeah. Deca Ranger. And then, of course, Gaugaigar and symmetrical combiner.
Choryugen.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with this line. And might even take a look and seeing what other figures that they already have out that I might be interested in. I know my friend Quinjester just got his Die Guard today.
I've heard that thing
He said it is absolutely beautiful. He said there's so much love put into that and all the different joints and stuff. And so I've actually had Die Guard on my computer for about a year and a half and still haven't watched it. So maybe I'll get a chance to go through that and watch that, and then it'll probably make me want to get the toy because I've heard nothing but good things about that.
I heard a funny story about that Die Guard from Cook Sucks, because sometimes Bandai toys come in a certain... Sometimes Bandai puts in an Easter egg for you, and I've gotten it before, and Cook Sucks got it on his Die Guard, where you pull the toy out, and it is covered in mold release fluid. And so apparently he pulled his Die Guard out, and he was like, great, I got the pre-order bonus of I have grease all over my hand now. that's happened to me with an SIC before. It's in case anyone's worried, it doesn't actually damage the toy. It's just stuff that usually is wiped off. And sometimes it kind of lingers and then collects and condenses during shipping.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just wipe it off, but it can spook you if you don't know it's coming because it feels like snot.
Yeah, one cool thing about the Key of Victory set was when I put the gauntlet on, I went to put the hammer in the hand, and I was like, oh man, this is really tight. I don't know if I'm going to get that in there. And then I realized that the hands were actually kind of a hard rubber, and I had to kind of pull it open a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you let go, and the hand kind of grips around the hammer, has a nice grip on it. So yeah. did you notice that with yours too?
Yeah, I was really worried at first because I tend to think Gaugaigar figures are going to be fragile, and I was a little bit freaked for a bit, but I was like, I got to figure this out. And once I figured it out, I was really happy because I was like, wow, I can stick the Goldian hammer in here. I can just have him raise the hammer up. He might fall down if I do this, but I don't feel like it's going to make the toy like tear pieces off of itself because something snags on something on the way. Mm-hmm. It's so solidly built. I mean, I've had the problem that everyone's had of the shoulders, kind of like the ball joints on the shoulders popping loose now and then. But like I haven't had the some people have said the hips have been loose. On mine, the hips are a little bit glidy, but they aren't like dangling. So between that and just the history I've had with Gaugaigar toys, I'm in love with that figure. I just love it. It's what I've wanted ever since high school, basically.
The alternate head crest, is that just an extra one they threw in, or is there something different about that?
Yeah, one of them is hard plastic that's brittle. The other one is soft PVC.
Okay.
So it's basically there so that if you're in a situation where you have to put him on display somewhere where he might fall down, they give you the option of putting in a soft head crest, so if he does fall down, it won't blow up.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, that was the only part of him that I didn't get, but I've been so busy I hadn't actually looked it up, so thank you.
No worries.
So, yeah, Gaugaigar is great. I look forward to, hopefully this weekend, taking a bunch of pics because he is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I got me an X-23, so now I'm in the cool kids club like Seth. So she's all right. Yay. She's cool. I like her. I wish she had a little bit more hip mobility. Maybe mine just isn't broken in, you know, insert.
It's those giant legs getting in the way.
Yeah. But, no, she's good. And I like the effort they're putting into these new Marvel figures and, giving them articulation. I got
90% more leg.
Yeah. I actually found some Renegades figures at retail. I bought a Firefly and a Cobra Commander. They're okay. I don't think they're as impressive as the Pursuit of Cobra stuff as far as the amount of accessories and everything. It's a little weird almost seeing the somewhat realistic human faces when the bodies seem to be based off the animation model, and the card art shows the animation models, but the eyes, like the face and everything on them, they don't really match up as well. So, but at least with the Cobra Commander, you have the option of replacing the half mask face with the full on mask, which is how I prefer it. But so, yeah, I'm not sure. I really enjoyed G.I. Joe Renegades. I thought it was a really good cartoon. So I hope that they have some better figures come out later. I know that's kind of hanging in the balance of fate right now as far as whether that'll ever happen. But so it's kind of disappointing that I don't think the first wave is... It's not bad. It's not bad at all. It's just it could have been a little better. And I think that whoever made the decision to kind of give them more realistic faces, probably to blend in with the rest of the line, because there's not a separate Renegades line. It's just they're releasing a few Renegades figures in waves with existing more of the realistic styled current wave of G.I. Joe. So, and I think maybe they didn't want the huge difference there of two different styles in one line. That's the only thing that I can guess. There might be a better reason out there. I haven't read about it, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. I actually found a Star Wars 3¾-inch Bastila from Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, can we just for a sec, let's reenact what happened before we started recording. So you say that thing you said where it's like, I found a Bastila.
I found a Bastila.
How?
No, what you said is, that's out?
Oh, yeah. So basically the same lines of, I didn't think that thing existed in a way where it wasn't just showing up in booths. Like, in my limited knowledge of Bastila being a toy.
Yeah, I don't follow Star Wars figures that much. There's, you know, I look at it when it's on the pegs. I can't remember where I saw it. I think it was a random tweet or something, but it showed, or it might have been on toyark.com. But it showed a in-hand pick of either, I think it might have been someone from China or something, showing a picture of Bastila. And I was like, oh, that I didn't even know she was getting a toy. And that was, I think, about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then saw her on the peg yesterday. I was like, oh, okay. So, I mean, as a toy herself, you know, she's probably not incredibly impressive. She has the dreaded V-crotch. But her face, it looks a little generic, but it's well done. She doesn't look derpy or anything. She comes with a yellow double-bladed lightsaber, both open and, or extended, lit, whatever you call it, activated, and, a separate one that doesn't have the beam effect, that's deactivated. But her actual, body detail and everything looks good. I mean, it looks like the character model. So, and in case anybody doesn't know, she is from the old BioWare game, Knights of the Old Republic. She's one of the main characters. And I really like that game. And I have a couple of other Star Wars figures from that game, which I actually bought them because of Seth, because he kept taunting me with pictures of it. And I got jealous and finally bought some off eBay. But Darth Malak and Darth Revan. And I think those are still on the card, actually. So
yeah,
now I have my third Knights of the Old Republic 3¾-inch figure.
Awesome. I'd be tempted by that, actually, if I saw it, because I've said many times I'm not a massive Star Wars person at all, but I did enjoy KOTOR when I played it.
Yep.
So
that's a great game, and it still is.
Yep.
Off in the distance, it's a great game, and it still is. KOTOR.
Yeah, and aside from the earlier mentioned, that's it, aside for the earlier mentioned Yotsuba Volume 10. Everyone should read Yotsuba. It's amazing. It's great.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. As Seth says from his hallway.
You can't make me watch.
But that's it. That's everything.
Oh, man. All right. That is the show, then. So thank you all for listening. Next week, I'll be back from New York Comic Con, hopefully with all kinds of stories of crazy stuff that happened there. I'm still really nervous because I don't know what I'm going to do when I get there, but I've been trying to write down a schedule, so we'll see.
Go to that one street.
Go to that one street and then get maced and then tell them I'm the king of YouTube.
Don't be a pansy.
Streak. Streak Times Square.
Oh, man. I can't do that. I'm not American.
You can get awesome footage to put on your YouTube channel.
I can't get the footage.
This is me, me streaking.
I can't get the footage if I'm streaking. I got to get someone else.
Well, I was talking about the other thing.
What, getting maced?
Get maced.
I get this great footage of getting maced. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. This has been Vangelis, that's been GogDog, that's been Seth Buzzard. Where should people call if they want to leave us voicemails? Putting you on the spot.
Let me see if I can do this from memory. Is it 318-775-9830?
It is.
Well, snap.
It's 318-775-9830.
I like a numerologist.
I can't actually check because the board... Oh no, the board just came back up.
Oh,
because apparently we're still reeling from San Diego Comic Con.
I'm surprised so many people are interested in Transformers Prime Cyberverse. I mean, it looks cool. Don't get me wrong, but that's all that's there, isn't it?
People are going to think I made a mistake when I said San Diego Comic Con. I didn't.
What are you talking about? You said New York Comic Con.
It's not what the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We
still have that message. Someone actually told me, because that message seems to just be locked in right now, is the one that comes up. And someone told me they got that message while they were trying to get on the boards when it was down for some other reason. And they were like, why is San Diego Comic-Con causing all this? And I was like, look, we can't blame San Diego Comic-Con for everything in the world, but we can blame it for this. So just you know, weather the storm with us, and we'll make it through this, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, they were up.
Oh.
It's down again.
Oh.
318-775-9830.
That's number two. 318-775-9830. 1994.
Yes. Yes.
I'm in a position to do something about this.
Oh, okay.
Because I live here now.
Don't taunt me with this, because okay. This has been going on for, I think, almost 3 years now. And there's literally only four people that get the 1994 joke.
I know, but they'll get it. That's the main thing.
When? Because this has been going on since...
I mean, they'll get the joke is the thing.
Okay.
They'll get the joke.
It's been going on since February of 2009, okay?
I know.
And every time me and King Lafo decide to let this die, you bring back just enough spark.
I just walked
just
by,
enough spark to like, get our hopes up. Hey, look what I got in my hand. It's a thumb drive. Guess what's on it? Wink. See you next year. You dick.
Hey, one of these years I'm actually going to put the thumb drive in a computer. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening, everybody. You didn't understand a thing we were talking about just then, but that's okay, because we still love you. And we'll be back next week with more WTF at TFW. Smooch.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.